for Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
You Dick?
No.
Dick Ritchie?
No, he's not here right now.
You live here?
Yes, I do.
You're sort of, roommates?
Exactly, roommates.
Yeah, well, maybe you can help me. I'm looking for a friend of mine. Clarence Worley from Detroit. He's traveling with a real pretty girl named Alabama.
Oh, yeah, man, I know him. They've been by here.
You seen them?
Mm-hmm.
They staying here?
No, they're staying at the Safari Motor Motel Inn. Safari Motel.
Safari Motel?
Yeah.
How do you know that? I mean, have you been over there?
No. Well, they were here, and they said that they were going to go there. And they went.
Yeah?
Yeah. Safari Motel.
Safari Motel.
Uh-huh. Hey, you want to watch some TV or something? They might be back here.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, you take care. I might be back.
Yeah. Okay, be cool. You condescend to me, man. I'll kill you, man.
Crime being committed? Did you see a crime being committed?
If we follow him, we will see a crime being committed.
You are a patrol special. You don't go looking for a crime. If you happen to see a crime being committed, then you can take action. Otherwise, your job is to service those people who are stupid enough to hire you to protect them. Now, if I'm getting a kill on this job, it's going to be by a bullet, not by a bus. Now, turn this car around and let's get back on your patrol.
I have a limited vocabulary, Ted.
Fuck you.
Greetings and salutations.
Hey, Ram, doesn't this cafeteria have a no fags allowed rule?
Oh, yeah. They seem to have an open door policy for assholes, though, don't they?
What did you say, dickhead?
I'll repeat myself.
Bye.
yeah, Rockford, Jim Rockford. Hey. Hi, everyone. It's Friday. Welcome to the show. Woohoo! What a lovely evening we have here. Yes. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you. We're here again. We're just shooting the shit and all that kind of stuff. Steven, the pop culture zealot. Hey. Steven, how you doing this week?
I'm here this week on time. And
yeah, it was great. We finally did our lines for the new Lost in Mulberry. I'm sure Mick will be happy about that.
Yes, yes. Hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm reading it. I try to emote this time, but yeah. You know.
I tried to.
I think
do
you wanted them 30 days ago, but hey. Yeah.
I tried to do as good as Ollie on Smallville. I figured if I could do as good as Green Arrow, then I'm a pretty good actor.
I thought that's what my last line sounded like. The last reading I did was Ollie-ish. So
you thought you made yourself clear.
I thought I made myself clear.
Well, it's good to see you, Steven.
Thank you, sir.
We also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent.
When did you do your lines? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow. So, hey, you know, it's
mine were late, too, so.
Yeah, poor Mick. Sorry, Mick. But you'll get them, so. But I'm glad everybody's here.
Yeah, I work on Jason's schedule, so.
Huh?
Whenever you tell me to do them.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you could have done them in your hotel room or something, right?
No, because I don't carry the mic when all that crap with
me. Oh, okay.
You forgot to say please.
Well, you could have do them like at a voicemail or something like that. Like, here's my lines, Jason. You know, something like that.
Yeah, if only I had a copy of the script.
Yeah.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
Okay,
no,
let's stop talking about this. Okay, well, hey, everyone. Hey, Bill, how are you doing this week? Is everything fantastic?
Yeah, everything's great, except one thing. You guys are going to have to banter back and forth for a second because there's somebody at my door. I will be right back.
Okay, oh my God. Bill, be careful. Who could it be at his door?
I say trick-or-treaters. A Wookiee?
Oh my God, Chewie's at your door. Hello, Bill? Knock, knock. Candygram.
Are you an angel?
Oh my God, it's Anakin. So I'm glad you're here, Steven. We just watched Crusoe on NBC. Well, not really. We watched
the last
15 minutes of it.
With the exciting part. The
volume real low. Pirates attacking Crusoe and his Ewok-like hut. That was pretty exciting.
I liked his little windmill, too. You know,
yeah, the guy's very inventive. And, he's a genius,
orange
apparently.
Orange juice maker.
Oh, my God.
Coconut orange juice maker.
Hey, if Knight Rider's going to succeed, Crusoe should, I think.
Actually, I think Crusoe's probably a little better than Knight Rider.
I saw that it was pretty sad because I haven't really watched... oh, man, I can't remember the name of the show now. That's how bad it is. On NBC, no, ABC, The Pie Show. You know what I'm talking about? The
Pushing Daisies?
Yeah, Pushing Daisies.
It was kind of weird this week.
Well, I was going to say that Knight Rider is beating out Pushing Daisies regularly. It's kind of sad. Bill, are
That's
you back?
That's just wrong.
Bill, you're back.
Yeah, sorry. It was just my mom. I guess she forgot that I do the show on Fridays.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was going to tell you guys, some bad news. I forget what we were just talking about, but are you guys fans of Conan the Barbarian, the movie directed by John Milius?
Who isn't?
It's a favorite of mine.
You know, we're all big fans of Conan the Barbarian, and it's not a remake. It's basically a movie's going to be made of Conan, but is more, what would you say... close to the source novels by Robert E. Howard or the comic strips. I don't know what the hell he did. I know it was a cool comic, but it was also books and stuff, right, Bill? Or comic strips?
I never even read them. No idea.
Well,
when I saw Conan, I saw Arnold. That was Conan for me.
Right, right. And, you know, it was on HDNet Movies like last year, the year before or something.
Are they going to try and make it more like The Gladiator?
More
kind
fantasy
of?
Kind of thing.
Or, okay.
Closer to the Snorse novel. But what I was going to say is that the movies, nostalgically, it's fun to watch. It's not that great. Come on, it really drags. But what I want to say is they're going to make a new Conan movie, okay?
Crush your enemies.
Yeah,
see them
yeah.
Driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
And, that is good. Okay, Brett Ratner is going to direct it. So right now, Brett Ratner has announced he's going to make it. It's not fair. It's just wrong.
You know what? Let him do it. The only thing he can do is make more movies until people finally realize that he's terrible. That's all he can do.
Making the... which movie is the one with the...
I'm not going to help you, Steven. Just tell me. What is the movie?
Rush Hour.
I'm going to kill you now.
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour movie.
Unbelievable.
Hey, there's Conan. Yeah, you should get Conan O'Brien to be Conan in. That would be awesome. Geez,
sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, those Conan stories...
it's because
those appeared in the 1930s in Weird Tales between 33 and 36, so... It probably wasn't anything like the Arnold movies.
Well, there's a comic book artist called Barry Windsor Smith. That's who he's called. That's his name.
Barry Windsor Smith.
Yeah, now your audio is doing that shit it does during the news lately where it crackles. What the hell's going on?
All right.
I think we ought to just end the show. What do you guys think?
Hey, it's fine with me.
No, but
this will be the shortest show in history.
I knew what you were going to try to say, Rush Hour, but I was like, I'm not going to help.
You're going to leave me to hang.
I'll just get in bed and watch some Mystery Science Theater.
No, Bill, you need to hang out with us. We need to see what's going on.
All right.
Come on. It'd be great.
I'm here.
What the
I'm
hell
here.
Did you just say?
Huh?
Nothing.
All right, well,
Ruby Raw.
Oh, my God. All right, we've got a voicemail. Let's check it out, and maybe you could help us out of this nightmare. What do you think, Steven?
Hey, citizens of Mulberry, it's Rick from Fort Worth, your useless wellspring of knowledge. I heard your show last week, and you guys were debating the name of the bad guy from Thundercats, that really creepy mummy guy. Yeah, his name was Mum-Ra. That's right, Mum-Ra. Also, don't know if you guys noticed this. In that episode of South Park... When he's being raped on the pinball machine, did you notice what the pinball machine was? It was Howard the Duck. Yeah. Yeah. Just wanted to let you guys know that. Hope you guys are doing good. Keep the show up, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was raped on a Howard the Duck pinball machine. Wow. That's just wrong.
There were a couple little things like that. The Howard the Duck machine.
The Germans.
God, what else was there?
The Germans that walked in on him being raped on the pinball machine.
No, there was a poster or something up there that referenced another thing that maybe it was Willow. I'm not sure. it was Willow the arcade game. That's what Steven Spielberg was playing.
Nice. Let's go ahead and get into entertainment, okay? What do you guys say? Let's do that. Okay. Oh, wait. No, before we do, I want to talk about this. You know that douchebag Peter Cook who's married to... what's her face? Steven, help me out. I helped you with the Rush Hour.
Christy thing. Brinkley.
Yeah, there you go.
Do See? I have to answer all your
yes.
here?
Yes.
You're the
do
historian.
You understand the words that
Shut
are
up! No
mind?
More. I can't stand that guy. So
what he needs to do is just do a Ruby Rod and Jackie Chan movie.
Ruby Rod!
He'll be the new Conan.
That would be awesome. I would do that. No, he's going to be the Wilt Chamberlain role from...
Oh, my God, Corbin.
Okay,
Corbin
so
Dallas.
This guy, Peter Cook, was on Barbara Walters. And just listen to this guy. He kind of justifies his actions here. And what is it he did? He cheated on Christy Brinkley?
With a babysitter, yeah.
And he...
Yeah, something like that. And he'd go on Adult Friend Finder and... whack his putt in the video chat room or
was
something.
He really enjoys pornography, I think.
The babysitter that he hired at his business to be a secretary or something.
Yes.
He paid her
the
like,
secretary babysitter.
Whoa.
He paid her like
Don't you
a
get lonely?
God-awful sum of money just to be the secretary.
Just
well, let's check out this awesome
favors.
Interview. We just got to check this out.
You were married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. Why cheat?
It was my failing. I was a great father, a great husband, and I failed as a human being. I failed myself. Christy is mad at me. She's entitled to be mad at me. I'm an idiot. I made a mistake. Parenting is a partnership. I carried the greater percentage of the burden of that partnership. I was more apt to be the one to be there, just because I am, in my nature, a doer.
How involved was Kristen in the day-to-day life of the children?
A doer.
Yeah, I did the babysitter.
Not
exactly
as involved as myself.
You spent $3,000 a month.
It's untrue. I did not have a pornography habit. I just want someone to look at me and go,
it was $5,000.
Cool. You're okay. You're attractive. You're sexy. I was missing that in my relationship.
Oh. So he spent all his monies on camwhores.com.
So Christy Brinkley didn't compliment him enough. That's why he turned to porn.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, he gets an excuse there. He's good.
That must be why Billy Joel separated with her. She didn't.
Why don't you ever compliment me? How's the song? That's okay. Whatever.
It's all right.
I love you just the way you are isn't good enough for her.
Yeah.
I wrote this song just for you. Town girl.
I've heard there was a comedian who said that the just the way you are, it's like, this is from the guy who dumped his wife for Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, let's check out what's going on in entertainment. Oh my God. Okay, that's it. Good night, everybody. Bye. Bye, Bill.
Who are you? Shit together. I'm going to get answered.
You're attractive. You're sexy.
Well, thank you, Peter. Well, today, Max Payne came out in theaters, starring Mark Wahlberg. And it's based on a shitty video game.
No, don't say that.
I heard that Max Payne 2 is better.
No, Max Payne was pretty ahead of its time. It was the first game to utilize bullet time. I liked it. It was a good game. Max Payne 2, I never played, but I heard it was good.
I can't get past that nightmare level, so...
That nightmare level was crazy.
You're lost in a maze in the game. It's like, what happened to the shoot-em-up thing? And all of a sudden, you're in a nightmare in the game, and I couldn't get out. But also, do you remember there's this level where everything's blowing up, and you have to run out of the building real quick before it blows up? Impossible levels. God, I
hate
that.
That's why I got it for PC. You'd use the cheats.
I hope that the movie has a scene like that where Mark Wahlberg's trying to get out of the building.
Can't make it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And then he stops to talk to a chicken.
Yeah, and the thing. Yeah, that's another thing about the Saturday Night Live skit Adam Sandberg did. Mark Wahlberg talks to animals. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing bad about that is it's one of those skits that doesn't have an ending.
It was funny, though. I could see that every, if you know, I don't say every week, but, you know, just a bunch of different animals all the time, you know.
That would be good, is if every weekend, you know, he comes on, I'm going to talk to a goldfish. Hey, how you doing, goldfish?
Yeah.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Mark Wahlberg goes to the zoo and talks to the animals.
That Adam Sandberg guy gets on my nerves, though.
He does. He's most of the people on Saturday Night Live get on my nerves. Like, I know Andy of the Hollywood Saloon just loves this one chick, Kristen Wiig or something.
Oh,
I don't know. And she is just so irritating to me.
I know who you're talking
about. She's like what Molly Shannon was when she was on there.
Oh, you didn't love Superstar, that skit?
Oh, my God.
It's just basically about running ideas into the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. To the point where they even made a movie out of it. Sheesh.
That's why I say the Mark Wahlberg one talks to animals every couple of weeks.
They are going to do it every week, Steven. You know that, right?
Well,
until they run into the ground.
Every couple of weeks will be okay.
No, well, I'm sure it'll happen this
week. They've got Mark Wahlberg's attention now, and he's pissed off about the whole thing.
Is he really, though? I think he's doing a shtick. He's just doing a bit.
I think he's genuinely annoyed, but I don't think he's as pissed as he appears to be.
I think honestly he probably doesn't think it's funny. Like, I can see he's doing an impression of me, but what's so funny about it? He probably
He's not. Mark Wahlberg has never had any professional acting training. He's the same in everything. I mean, he was the same in The Happening. He did a decent enough job, but he's just not a very good actor.
It's almost like this. He's good if he's in a good movie, I think. Like Three Kings, he's good in that. Stuff like that.
He's got
I can't
nice
think of
supporting
other movies.
Role. If he's got good supporting actors.
Yeah, he's good if he's in a good movie, honestly. I mean, stuff like that. the movie, what was it, The Last Hit? What was that movie called? Where he's
Big Hit.
The Big Hit. Wow, what a piece of shit that was.
Yeah, didn't it have Lou Diamond Phillips and a couple other rejects in that?
Yeah, man, that was a long time ago. But also, W came out, new Oliver Stone film about George Bush. Yes. Are you guys interested
in
that?
With the best trailer ever. Any trailer that uses Talking Heads song so appropriately wins me over.
Yeah, that's something I'm probably going to watch it when it comes on cable or DVD or whatever. But
yeah, I'm not going to go to the theater to see it. I'll download a bootleg of it.
I don't think I've seen an Oliver Stone film since the Sean Penn one.
Which one was that?
The one with Jennifer Lopez and Nick Nolte. U-Turn, is that what it's called?
Oh, my wow. God, I forgot about that one. Wow.
I think that's the last Oliver Stone movie I've seen.
You know, the last one I saw was probably Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, I never saw Alexander.
Yeah, I bought the Alexander Revisited on HD DVD, and it's pretty good. I mean, it's really? Not great, but it's watchable.
Yeah, I guess I'll check it out. What is that? Recently, you and I just watched a trailer for this creepy, was this a Swedish vampire movie?
Let the Right One In or something?
Yeah, that looks creepy. It's like a little kid befriends a little girl vampire. I don't know how young she is, but she looks like she's 12 or something. It looks really creepy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I was joking with you about how it looked like the Swedish violent version of the Little Vampire, the Jonathan Lipnicki movie.
Yeah. At first I thought you were like referencing maybe it was like some book that's been out forever called The Little Vampire.
A simple bad reference to a bad movie.
Awesome. Jonathan Lipnicki. What happened to that kid? I wonder what he looks like now.
He grew up and became ugly.
That's what always happens if you're a child actor. Hopefully he doesn't, you know.
Whereas Mayim Bialik was just always ugly.
You're okay.
Yeah. That Peter Cook guy's kind of creepy, isn't he?
He is definitely creepy.
You're sexy.
Christy Brinkley, I guess.
Pick him.
I'm an idiot.
Christy Brinkley.
You know you're a weirdo whenever you have to get interviewed by Baba Wawa.
But I was going to say, Christy Brinkley's one of those women who's supposed to be hot that never did anything for me. Never thought she was hot.
Yeah.
You know, I
same here.
I served her ice cream. Or desserts.
Ooh, Steven, when did this...
This is a
euphemism for something.
Did you put a little man topping on it?
No, I really... Honestly, God, I had no idea it was Christy Brinkley.
Right.
You know, this average-looking, you know, she's a nice-looking woman come walking up, and I was... I worked for a catering...
Did you go,
catering.
Seen better, lady, and walk away?
Working. Well, she, you know, I expected, you know, her being a supermodel to be tall, but she's tall for a woman, not tall.
Yeah, she's not taller than me.
No, she
it's
wasn't
like, I'm
taller
than you, lady.
She wasn't even taller
Thank
than
God.
Me.
God, good Lord.
You know, she might have been 5'8", 5'9", you know, for, you know.
So you were working at for a catering service at the time, right?
Yeah, and she and does an the event. Cutting Horse show in Fort Worth.
Right.
And they were having, you know, the big dinner party for them. And that's when I talked to, you know, I served her. And at the time, who was it?
Come on, Steven. Get it out. Come on.
Vice president,
you can do it.
The vice president's wife was there.
Which vice president?
Under the first Bush.
Oh, okay.
Dan Quayle?
Quayle's wife, yeah. Marilyn Quayle was there.
Nice.
And then I talked to Barry Corbin.
You're such a name dropper.
Yeah, Steven. We're dropping names. But what I was saying is she's one of those females that's supposed to be hot that never did anything for me. Like, meh, she's okay. Or like, I never, you guys probably feel the same. I know Steven does about Julia Roberts. Like, nah, nothing there.
Yeah, God, no.
Same with Sandra
Bullock.
You know,
she's just got such a piss poor attitude that I couldn't even find her attractive.
Or Sandra Bullock, never found her super hot or anything. Just those certain kind of females that are hot, like Christy Brinkley. I was like, nah, I seem better. You know what I'm saying, Johnny?
Yeah, you think she's attractive. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women like that out
she's
there.
She's good
now.
Enough for Billy Joel.
Like Heidi Klum, I don't really have anything for her. She's got big knockers.
Well, Cindy Crawford, I can't
Well, Bill,
stand
you
either,
don't have...
you know, I don't find her attractive.
Heidi Klum on Project Runway. Just I laugh at the way she's like, one of you is in... One of you is out. It's just like there's not much going on there, but I guess she's just a pretty face. But let's go ahead and check out what's on our entertainment and get this thing rolling.
Let's get it rolling.
Yeah. know, have you guys ever watched Amazing Race? The Amazing Race.
No. Could care less.
Well, they
yeah. good show.
They give them. you might have seen a commercial or something, but it's like these couples who do tasks every week.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this time I thought this task was interesting. What they make this guy do? Let's just check it out. It's pretty cool.
In this roadblock, that person has to set aside all decorum and fight a girl. They'll hand the hat they bought to one of these women, known as Fighting Cholitas.
How awesome is that? So you fight a girl on the episode. Fighting Cholita.
Fight a girl.
Yeah. So, Bill, how is Cloris Leachman still on Dancing with the Stars?
I have no idea. It's, you know, I haven't been watching it as much as my father. My father just eats that show up like it's ice cream.
How does he feel about her on the show?
Stephen's man-topping. But it just... I don't know. She's so irritating. She's so incredibly annoying. She's not funny, and she's got to turn everything into a joke. She's just grating. She's like fingernails on a blackboard, and I don't know how she's still there. It's got to be the producers.
I assume the reason she's still on the show is because it's fan voting, right? You call in.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
I don't believe that. You know, the producers manipulate that show so much.
Ask her, does your dad like her on the show? Does she think he's...
No, he hates her. Okay, he despises her.
Because I like Cloris Leachman actress, I guess, but on this show, no, she's annoying the shit out of me. And I'm not even watching the show, I'm just seeing clips from here and there. But unfortunately...
Yeah, you can see from the clips the way she acts on the show.
I would pick Rocco over this chick.
There's people that have been voted off that should still be there. Rocco, he didn't really have anything, but I'm still kind of sore about Ted McGinley. The guy really had a chance to be good.
Ted McGinley. Let's check out this clip and see what happens here.
Don't laugh at Ted
Rocco,
McGinley.
Rocco, last night the judges said that your dance was lots of fun, but still lacking. Was it fun enough for the viewers?
Cloris, last night your dance earned your highest scores from the judges, and the viewers appreciate your hard work.
From the couple with the lowest combined total, and therefore leaving right now. Rocco and Karina.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Last week you were up there, you had to find out that would have been the week you were going to go home. And then tonight, it came true.
Yeah, but I have nothing but grateful feelings to the entire cast and crew. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Karina, I owe you for the gift of dance. I really appreciate it. Mwah. Yeah. Carrie-Ann, for always having something gracious and positive to say. Len, absolutely, you're a class act. And I think for my final request, I would love it if Bruno could show me how to make my hips move properly. Is that something you could do for me?
Not take
just
much.
Jesus.
Going.
No.
Yes.
Ah. Oh my God, that's creepy.
That's what I thought.
Oh.
Turn it into a gay orgy.
That good old Rocco, I hope he gets another restaurant show, don't you?
His mom can make the meatballs.
I heard he does have a show, I think it's on Bravo, coming up.
Does he really?
Yeah, I have no idea what the point of it is. But
I said, why would they? Yeah, you're right, yeah, I saw it
have
too.
Have you seen the commercial? He just comes off like a smug prick to me.
He is. He's like, you know what? Him and Bobby Flay are perfect for one another.
Bobby Flay? Hey, come on. I like that show where he challenges people. What is that called?
That is so irritating. It's time for a throwdown.
Yeah, throwdown. The dumbest part is how some agent hands him secret papers at the beginning. It's like, dude, what? It's a cooking show. What? My favorite episode of that show, Throwdown with Bobby Flay, is he did puffy tacos. I love that.
Oh, did he really?
They look so good.
I'll whip out the masa flour and make puffy tacos once in a while. It's
nice.
A pain in the ass, though.
Well, there's this new show with the Rock of Love girls with Bret Michaels called Charm School, where...
that's not new.
No, it is new with the...
season?
Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne is the charm lady, Charm School lady.
Last season it was that comedian chick. Shit, what is her name? The annoying one. She's big and Crap, never mind.
So anyway, Sharon Osbourne.
Welcome to my world.
We're going to start eating brain food. We're going to eat fish and do some kind of mind exercises before the show from now on. It's like,
yes, sir.
I heard if you look left or right, it improves your memory. So I'm going to start doing that. Just look shitty.
Monique.
Oh, yeah, Monique. My girl, Monique. So Sharon Osbourne.
It's funny, I'm in Google typing in annoying fat, and then I went, oh, Monique.
Well, listen to this scene. It's awesome where this chick kind of picks on this other girl, and she throws an apple at her head. It's hilarious. She throws it at her head. She goes, she just threw a glass at my head. She goes, I threw an apple at you, dumbass. But they do this weird thing where their girl goes, oh, dude, and then they go, they show it quickly in slow motion. It's, oh, dude. I think it's awesome. Let's check it out.
I'm sitting at the table, and I look over, and, oh, there's Dallas. I cannot resist. I'm going to have to do something to rile her up. I thought, how funny would it be if I just reached over and just gave her ass a little tickle?
One of my favorite clothes.
I noticed someone rubbing me in an inappropriate spot. I see red.
Oh.
She just hit me with a glass. It wasn't a glass, it was an apple.
What did you
do? Still, an apple to the head hurt, you know? Have you ever had an apple thrown?
It's got yet? Some give to it.
Oh, dude.
So, wow. Project Runway.
They get the people to produce those shows right out of Full Sail Academy.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, you see the ads like in Premiere Magazine. You could go.
Yeah,
and learn.
It's some media academy.
I need to do that, and I can make a movie.
Full Sail.
But Project Runway announced a new winner. But what I think is funny is there's like a final three. You know, they used to do a final two, and even Top Chef. You remember they had three people instead.
Yes,
it's like they hurry the seasons now for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but
those people lose interest.
I love.
There's all this controversy going on with it now because of them trying to the Weinsteins trying to take it to Lifetime, and then Bravo said no. And
yeah, I heard that.
Anyway.
I thought you were going to elaborate on it.
No, it's all I know. I know they actually went to court over it, and they said, no, you can't take it away from Bravo. So now it's going to have to stay there.
Tim Gunn should be happy.
Oh, the guy to stay.
You know what I hate about these? They do these friggin' things all, you know, the whole season where they make dresses and stuff, right, Steven? Like, yeah. You make a dress, and then, hey, you're good enough to make it to the end. Maybe you'll be the Project Runway guy because you're talent. But then they always have to go, why do you think you should be the winner? And it's like, I hope you're not basing if I win or not on that question because my work should speak for itself. But listen how people always answer like a spaz, like, oh, I'm really passionate.
Why do you deserve to be the winner of Project Runway?
It's been a long journey here.
Huh? This is something I'm very passionate about.
I possess the talent and the ambition to do that.
Kenley, you're out.
I'm really sad. It crushes me.
Congratulations.
Makes me sad, Jason.
The end.
And kick in acoustic.
I just won Project Runway.
That's Mr. Big, the band there.
Well deserved. Congratulations. That was a beautiful collection.
Wow.
Lots of fun, but still lacking.
Didn't the one girl say, I'm impassioned?
I think so.
I have real impassion about it.
She's very passionate.
This is something I'm very passionate about.
Impassionate.
She can't keep from like, oh, I'm very passionate.
Passionate.
Hey, Steven, I know you didn't watch My Own Worst Enemy with the Christian Slater, but did you, Bill, get to catch it?
No, I've been so busy this week, I really haven't.
So I'm the only one who saw My Own Worst Enemy with Christian Slater.
Greetings and salutations.
Yeah, he never said that
way,
in the show.
You use that Cuffs theme in the intro, and it's such a ripoff of the Axel Foley.
I know!
It's just blatant. It doesn't even try to be something else.
And it's like, you almost think the director talked to... God, what was that guy's name?
Faultmire?
Harold Faultmire. And he's like, hey, I loved your stuff on Beverly Hills Cop. He's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, could you use the exact same thing for my movie? Just do it. Can I use the theme? He's like, oh, I don't think you can do that. Well, just change around a few things. He's like, oh, okay.
Just change a few notes.
And there's parts in the movie where Christian Slater, he's talking to the camera, and they have that, bum, 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 you know, during the whole movie. They break with their wall. I love that movie, by the way. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Greetings.
You killed my brother.
Now, My Own Worst Enemy sees the return of Christian Slater. Where has he been? I was a huge fan of Christian Slater. I love Cuffs. I love...
I was a huge fan of Gleaming the Cube.
Yes. Oh, I know. And I love Young Guns 2. He plays Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh. You remember that, Steven?
Yeah.
Mark
went down in a blaze of glory.
Do you remember that? He's like, tells these bandidos, he's like, you guys know who I am? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, I can't believe they know who I am. And then you find out later he's beheaded by those bandidos. Such a tragic end for Arkansas Dave.
You know
what's
so bad about that is that those movies were actually based on real people.
Yeah, don't forget about Mobsters with Christian Slater. Yeah.
Mobsters was an excellent film. Patrick Dempsey playing Lucky Luciano.
Lucky Luciano rolling in his grave. But seriously, though, My Own Worst Enemy is about a secret agent. Take it like, you know, James Bond, something like that. It's a little bit darker than that. It's more, I guess he's suave, kind of like James Bond, but most like Jennifer Garner in Alias. No, but only he's not a woman. So let's see. I'm really reaching here. I don't know what to do. But apparently... He also has another personality that's been programmed in his head where when he goes home and he's off the job, they switch on Henry, his alternate personality, who has a lovely wife played by Madchen Amick, who I always thought was super hot. He's got kids and all of that. So then when he goes back to work, he gets on an elevator, they switch him on, and he turns into the agent guy again. And... Okay.
He's remote control?
Yeah, there's a guy in a computer room doing it. And here's what I want to know is they never answer is why that guy would bother to do that. You know, it's very elaborate. You got to think when you see the setup and the computers and everything that they've really spent a lot of money on this of our tax.
Why would they even bother? Why not just have an agent? Why does he have to have another personality?
That's what they don't answer. And I'm wondering, I think it would almost be more interesting. Well, let me tell you this first. What happens is he starts switching to his other personality just out of the blue. So there's a part where he's got a sniper rifle and he's about to kill this bad guy. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, where the hell am I? And he's just like the other guy, the family guy. And they have to go retrieve him because he's now been captured and they're questioning him and they're going to torture him. And he can't answer him anyway. And so what happens is they lose control of him where he keeps switching back and forth, you know, and the whole thing is like Jekyll and Hyde, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
So here's what I think would be more interesting because the agency tells him you're really this badass agent guy and you're not real. You're just basically a fake personality we programmed in his brain. So he's like, you mean I'm not real? I'm not a real guy or whatever? He's like, well, you are kind of, but... What I think would be interesting if you find out that Christian Slater's character, Henry, the nice guy, they plucked him out of maybe from they found him somehow through tests or whatever. He grew up or whatever. And they actually turn him into this agent. And
they
take normal people and turn
what,
him into
like Alias?
Yeah, but they're not people aren't aware that they are those things.
But isn't that what Project Christmas was? That's what they... Sydney didn't know that she was able to do that stuff, and her dad did it from childhood.
Yeah, something like that would be more interesting. Or maybe the other way around.
They're the badass killer personality.
So what you're saying is the show could be better.
They programmed the nice guy personality over the top.
I'm going to say they haven't elaborated enough. It was only one episode, so I'm saying maybe they will do this, but they don't answer why this is like this, but here's a clip right here of Christian Slater being Christian Slater. You gotta love the guy, right?
No.
Hey! Thank you! Now for a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a split personality, and so am I.
Yeah, he's back! Yeah! Aren't you excited, Bill?
This is a red visor blue. He's on a shitty TV show, and so am I. What?
What a
no.
dick.
Bill, that's you haven't bad. Even seen the show. Come on, that was pretty good. It's good stuff.
You know what? I will watch it. I'll find the first episode and I'll watch it.
I seriously am a Christian Slater fan. And I'm excited to watch the show. I always like Christian Slater.
He was good in Wind Talkers.
Yeah, until he gets his head chopped off. Oh, yeah, spoiler alert! There, he was in a humble phase when he made that. It's almost like he was a big star. Then he got bad into drugs, I guess. Remember that story about him biting some guy in the stomach? Like,
yeah, it was awesome.
He really just was in a bad place, and then he disappeared for a while, and he took little small roles and things.
Now he's doing the Robert Downey Jr. thing.
He was great in Robin Hood with Kevin Costner. Remember that? He was great in that. He's always good. Love Christian Slater. And I can't wait to watch more of the show. What I'm saying is the whole premise of it, I get it, Jekyll and Hyde, but why? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I never ask why to heroes, though. Why? Yeah, everything makes sense there, right? Like,
it's a perfect script.
Claire, mm-hmm. You know, shouldn't Claire's dad, HRG, put his files away somewhere where his daughter can't just look through them anytime she wants?
Did you notice that Matt Parkman's dad was one of the guys in the file?
Yeah.
That's just like,
And he shows up at the end, too. You find out that Nathan, he's not seeing Linderman. It's Parkman's. It's Pac-Man's dad.
Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, his dad is making Pac-Man Jones. Oh, he's suspended.
They took away his power pellets.
Oh, they're making him see Linderman, make him think that he's doing God's work. Right, Steven? Mm-hmm.
But he's figuring it out in this episode.
He's like, wait a second. If I was given the powers by my mom doing experiments on me, then how is God involved? He's like, Is it just me or the flashbacks or the dream sequences more interesting than the actual show? Because she dreams Nathan and Allie Larder's character, Tracy, and Peter are all dead. And I was like, I like it. Oh, it's a dream sequence. Oh, damn you, show. Come
on. Piping a bag of the head.
Wouldn't that have been awesome? It's like if that really happened, you're like, dude, you got rid of three characters dragging the show. Good job, heroes. But no, it was just a dream. And he's
we're starting at the end. We need to go to the beginning when Mohinder's stalking the drug dealer.
Oh, that's awesome. He's like, what have you got? What are the names of the drugs he mentioned, Bill?
White Lightning, Angel Dust, or Base.
White Lightning? What does he have? Some moonshine? Yeah. I got this jug of moonshine right here.
Got three
White
Lightning
burning
it.
Down a quarter mile. Corn whiskey. Had the Duke boys haul it in here.
That's so bad.
In fake New York.
And you notice whenever they do that shot on him, he's scratching his back.
Yeah, wait, like, he was like, oh, my back itches, like the whole thing. Couldn't they show him get some lotion or something? Or
like, hey, remember he has lesions on his back.
I need some Benadryl.
Allergies are kicking in.
But Benadryl makes me sleepy, and I need to work. What should I do? And they could have a commercial with Mohinder, like doing a Walgreens commercial or something.
This entire episode is just, it's like the Hammery of heroes. You know, it's like they treat the audience like such idiots. Like, I mean, it goes to the next scene where Claire's foster mom figures out she lied to her and she's going after the bad guys. And then Claire's real mom's like, well, you can't go after her. I'll go after her because I can do this. And it's like, oh, I completely forgot.
It's like, hey, thanks, lady.
Fire.
It's like she's always mentioning not to smoke in her house, but you lighting your finger. She remembers you have fire powers. Okay, lady. But you also don't forget about Mohinder. He's doing his stuff, and they have Maya show up. And she never has anything to do on the show. She's like, oh, Mohinder, you have this poster on your door. Where is this person? Your neighbor is missing.
Didn't you know your neighbor is missing, Mohinder?
I haven't seen them, but don't go in this room. Don't go over there.
I'm remodeling.
Yeah, and Mohinder turns into Mr. Sex Fiend. He's like, hey, Maya, where you been?
Apparently, Bill, his power also makes him extremely horny as well.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what they're doing. But I think Maya's really hot, honestly.
She's not bad.
She'd always
she's
tell me about my milk being sour all the time. Your milk, you leave it out too long.
Get used to it. I'll give you something else that's sour.
Jason, your milk has soured.
It's like, who are you, lady? Get out of my house. But she investigates in the other room, and she's like, oh, no, there's a man. He's stuck in a cocoon on the wall. Let me get this screw.
Adios mio. It's Tom Skerritt.
And then here comes Mohinder coming back inside, and he scratches his back. Oh, there's someone here, and whatever. Maya's in a cocoon. I don't understand any of that, but I can't wait to see where it's going.
She goes, you're a monster. And he goes, you shouldn't have said that.
Now I'm going to put you in a cocoon.
I'm going to put you in a cocoon too, bitch.
I can't wait till she hatches out and she has butterfly wings. That'll be cool. That'd be really awesome.
Then she'll be Moth Girl.
Oh, man. Yeah, Moth Wings.
Moth Girl that can cause
they
death.
Show her she's like flying on people's clothes or sweaters. She's eating my sweater. That'd be awesome.
Much so, better than the real show.
We also got a new power person this week, Vortex Man.
Yeah, that's who Claire finds. She finds this nice guy who happens to have a power where he can make vortexes and
send people to a void.
He the best part of it, though,
the best part of it was his introduction of his power. He's on the phone bitching to, I think, his wife's sister. And after that, he slams the phone down and then creates a vortex. And the phone and all his bills go into the vortex.
Yeah.
Oh, he's angry.
That's what this show does a great job of always showing what somebody's power is. I remember Kristen Bell's first ever appearance on the show where she was talking on a phone. Don't worry, I'll show them what I can do. And she's like, showing like, oh, okay, no one's there. You're talking on the phone, but you're showing us, the audience, that you have lightning powers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this guy, you know, that's the way. Doesn't he know his bills aren't going to go away because he does that? They
no.
still well, owe that money.
It's just convenient, you know. Instead of putting more trash, you know, into the environment, he puts it into space.
He could totally help us with getting rid of like toxic waste and stuff.
Oh yeah, totally.
But you know, basically, her dad and Siler show up, and they're going to take this guy in because he's dangerous. He accidentally killed his neighbor when he got angry.
But Siler's not dangerous anymore.
No.
He's done a complete 180. He doesn't want anybody's brains anymore. He just wants to help.
I love...
Out of nowhere. For no reason whatsoever.
Oh, that's another part with her mom and her stepmom, or foster mom. She was like, you shouldn't worry. Remember, nothing can happen to Claire. She's impervious to pain. She goes, what about this man? He can make vortexes. And she's like, oh, dear. Well, shit. We need to go look for him. And she was like, I hope she didn't go to this guy's house, who I'm setting up for the next episode. And she's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Which is, okay, the guy, they set that up where her mom goes to this puppet master guy. He can control
yes.
her.
Well, we don't know he's a puppet master until they do the
pull back the camera. He collects puppets, Steven! He's a puppet master! Because he collects puppets!
It's not just that he can make people do things. He actually has puppets that he makes do things.
So would that be like in Spider-Man, the guy, the lizard, collects little lizard figurines?
Sure,
or
why not?
Does that make any sense?
Goblin,
no,
collects
but
little
why not?
Goblin characters.
Yeah, he collects lawn gnomes or something. So,
oh my god, that would be terrible.
So,
can you imagine a lawn gnome army? It'd be like the Penguins in Batman Returns.
So I'm trying to think. Oh, we also have Hero and Ando.
Yeah, Hero stabs Ando in the chest.
Well, before that, they dig up a Sark from Alias, and they keep putting him back in the coffin and taking him out. And don't you love how easily he distracts everything and he gets away?
Yeah, it's so funny because when he's goofing around, he's like, oh, Hero, you Japanese Nazi. And I was like, what?
Huh?
Japanese Nazi?
Well, let's check out the scene at the end where Ando and Hero are cursing their names, and they're really just down on themselves, and the fast girl shows up. Let's watch this scene.
Hello, boys.
Wait, I mean, let's listen to this scene. Yeah.
Hello, boys.
Nemesis.
So, my friend here tells me that you're looking for work. And I said, that's not possible. Those goody two-shoes.
Be hard about what you are doing. Sign us up.
I'm not convinced.
What did they hear about what they're
doing? We are badasses now.
Yes, we are very badass.
That music is so annoying.
Not so fast. You have to prove yourself worthy.
How do we do that?
You're the one with the powers?
Yes. I control time and space.
Cool.
Awesome.
Kill the other one.
Kill Andor?
Yeah, he has no powers. What good is he to us? You kill him?
No, Ando.
Oh, badass.
I'm sorry, my friend. I must make some sacrifices to save the world.
Oh, no. Poor Ando, he's dead. I can't believe they killed him on the show.
Yeah, but the best part of that was whenever they go to the bar with Adam and then Hero gets knocked the F out. Poof, poof,
yeah, that's the thing is Adam runs away and when they cut back, he's only in the dumpster. He didn't, like, go blocks away.
Well, of course not. That would be too easy.
And then when he hops out of the dumpster, that black dude is standing there. How did he know he was there? And he knocks him unconscious.
Well, do we even know what the black dude's power is yet?
Yeah, remember? Fear. He gets powerful fear.
Well, I figured that Hero probably knows that Adam's somewhere around. You can get Adam to heal Ando.
So, yeah, it's pretty sad that Ando's dead and everything. They're not going to cut back next week and show that he actually went through time and, like, put a blood pack on him or something like that.
Or yeah. Ando actually has secret healing powers that you don't know about.
No. Yeah. I think what it's going to be is he's going to go through time real quick and rig him so he can fake stab him. Don't you?
Well,
because Ando, because Hero Ando. Wouldn't have stabbed him otherwise. He wouldn't stab him and actually kill
his
friend.
Yeah, true. Very true.
He would never do that, take that risk. You know what I mean?
I was about to say, Ando has some sort of, he's going to have some sort of power.
He doesn't yet. See, he hasn't turned to the dark side and let his Sith powers yet.
The serum turns them evil.
Yes, the serum.
And finally, we find out that Robert Forster is evil Petrelli and he can make people do things.
Yeah, and who was it in the forum that was talking about how stupid Hero is, where he could easily go through,
go back in time,
open the safe, get rid of the formula, tear it up that way in the present when it gets stolen, never would have happened.
Right.
But he never thinks like that. Because, you know,
I think it was JSR.
You shouldn't involve time powers because you can undo
it always messes
plot.
Things up.
Yeah, you can undo everything like that. Now, let's talk about Fringe real quick before we take a break, Bill. Did you get to watch Fringe?
No, I didn't.
Oh, bummer.
I got to watch. I had to choose Fringe or Smallville, and I chose Smallville.
Well, it starts out with this weird nerdy guy walking around, and he's got this crush on this chick, secretary in an office building.
Yeah.
And obviously, the guy is pathetic. His mom, he's like, get up and work, you're late. And he's like a pathetic guy. And
so he's like an abused Urkel.
Yeah, he takes...
He loses jobs left and right. That's kind of the feeling you get.
Did I do that?
And he takes snapshots of the secretary with his phone, and he just like looks at him. There's
That's
even
creepy.
His boss is like, is that your girlfriend? He's like, no. And he's like, is that some chick you're stalking? He's like, you give me my phone back. He's... But it turns out this guy has some kind of weird electric power where he can, like, or his electromagnetic field inside him or something.
Yeah,
he's electric.
Enhanced his electromagnetic field.
Well, you see this part where he's going to ask this girl out, but this guy's like, hey, we still on for drinks? She's like, sure, Scott, or whatever. And he's like, oh, man, she's got a boyfriend. Oh, I got to get out of here. And he goes to get on the elevator and... There's a whole bunch of people on the elevator, and they all come off, and one of them is the Observer, Bill. He just walks by real fast.
Awesome.
And so the guy gets on the elevator, and he's holding his phone, and she gets on the elevator, too, and she goes, oh, what the? And she's like, that's me.
No, they bump into each other.
Oh, and he drops the phone.
She picks it up.
And she sees it's her, and she's like creeped out. It's like, don't touch me. And he's like all freaked out, and all of a sudden the elevator just falls to the bottom floor. Everyone's dead. Except that guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy. And when they, you know, the gang comes to investigate it, Walter and Peter and the agent, Olivia, Walter. Is that her name?
Yeah, like when he takes her a necklace off and he's like.
Yeah, he's talking about the electromagnetic field and he goes, may I see your necklace? And he lets go of it and it floats right in the center of the elevator because of the electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
And he says that guy had like an electromagnetic cushion. That's why he didn't die. Seems pretty crazy, but They actually find out where the guy lives. When they get there, his mom is dead because she had a pacemaker, and the guy was upset, and he accidentally killed his mom, which is really sad. And they find a boombox, and he's like, grab the cassette. And here's where he explains what he's going to do with the cassette. He can somehow find the guy by an imprint of his electromagnetic signature on his cassette of this awesome music. Let's check it out.
So what is this?
This is Mario Speedwagon.
Yes.
You're hoping for something more specific, maybe. Everyone has a unique magnetic fingerprint. I said that, yes. But it is limited, barely traceable, except in people like Mr. What was his name?
Migar.
But since Mr. Migar has been enhanced, he'll give off a stronger signal than your average Joe.
So what's that got to do with the cassette tape?
Joe Plummer?
Cassette tape is as simple as it gets. Once exposed to a magnetic field, it remains permanently magnetized. Given the strength of Mr. Migar's electromagnetic signature, plus his proximity to the tape, I have little doubt that that cassette has been imprinted with Migar's electrical signature.
It's kind of like when a film camera double exposes a picture.
Let me just take out the music and see what we have left.
Look, there it is. That's him.
That's Mr. Migar.
Yes. I like he's all excited because he remembers his name.
Migar. And they actually, he puts the signature with homing pigeons. Which
yeah,
was,
he puts him in some in the Tesla cage. You know?
Yeah,
he's got the awesome Tesla coil,
and there's like electricity.
So he's tuning that Tesla coil to that same frequency because the birds have magnetite in their beaks.
Yeah, that's how they fly south for the winter. They explain, and so they
that's too cool.
I know it was like, this
and they put GPS trackers on the pigeons and then release them, and they all fly together, and they find exactly where the guy is. That way, who's been captured by this creepy doctor. It's some kind of like Nazi doctor.
Yeah, they're
or something.
Doing experimentations on people.
What they do, Bill, is they place ads where like, have low self-esteem, we can help you. And you go there and they actually take you and do experiments on you.
They're Scientologists.
It's really creepy. And there's a part where the guy, he's got these electrodes in his head, this poor nerdy guy, and he's like electrocuting him and stuff. He's like, why are you doing this? He goes, oh, you said you needed help with your self-esteem. You wanted to be special. Well, now you're special. He's like, oh. It's like, poor pathetic bastard. And even at the end when he's trying to get away, Peter has a crowbar and he's like, plink, hits him in the head with it. Wouldn't that have killed him?
Maybe it was the cushion?
It was a rubber. It was a tire iron or something.
Yeah.
Seriously, that can give you a concussion
something. It doesn't crack your skull.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm starting to think I need to go and watch the first two episodes again because I bet the Observer is in the first two episodes somewhere.
I'll have to pay attention next time for the Observer.
I'm sure he is.
And when I saw him, I go, oh, whoa, whoa. And there's no one with me in the room to say,
it makes
did
me
you see
wonder
that?
If they got that from Half-Life with the G-Man, how he just show up places.
Do you remember, I mean, you'd already played Half-Life like a long time ago, and I was like, hey, Bill, I've been playing Half-Life, and I keep seeing this guy with like a briefcase. Who the hell is that? And you're just kind of like, oh, that's the G-Man. I was like, what? And you could see him like at a distance. Like I was like,
yeah.
Who the hell is that guy?
Yeah, you'll come to like a doorway, and then he'll be like on the other side looking at you through a window, and it's just like, what in the hell?
Yeah, or you look on a monitor.
The first time I ever played Half-Life, the original Half-Life, that scared the shit out of me. Because I thought I was seeing things at first, and then I like looked it up that this guy was, you know, the character. And by the time you get to the second one, you know who he is, but he still right. does that same thing.
He's still following you and just observing everything you do.
Well, that's what he is. He's, I mean, basically you're working for him because at the end of the first Half-Life, you're given a choice. You can try and fight against him or you can take his side and work for him. And that's, so he's just watching you.
Yeah, you probably don't want to fight against a guy who's omniscient and can be wherever, anywhere
yeah,
he
exactly.
wants. Yeah, so let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Smallville. Greatest episode ever. Right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be right back, everybody.
Captain O.G. Reedmore here. They said the mouse to outer space where Hawaii is getting snow. If a Martian lands on Thompson Street, you'll be the first to know. If you read the daily papers and your favorite magazine, you'll be out in front and in the know on all the latest scenes. You can tell your friends, you heard it first. And you'll hold the latest news. So read the paper and some magazines. Because reading is what's news.
Murky! Rainbow Bright has a new cereal with fruit flavor and bright colors!
Colors? Let's see!
New Rainbow Bright brand cereal! Sweet fruity rainbows of bright color! A yummy part of this complete breakfast!
That I'll murk out!
A gloom cloud!
No match for Rainbow Bright!
Oh no!
Fruitful of colors!
Idiot! We hate color!
No murked out breakfast for us!
Fruit flavor, colorful bite! Rainbow Bright!
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System. When you master Rob, the video robot. And meet the challenge of Gyromites. When you shoot the light-sensing zapper, when you play the system with so many arcade hits, you're playing with power. The Nintendo Entertainment System Deluxe Set. Batteries not included. Other games sold separately. Your parents help you hook it up.
Sweetie. Sweetie, enough work. Let's go for lunch. And maybe not the usual place.
Next time, go for the real flavor of A&W Teen Burgers, fresh onion rings, A&W root beer.
It's also civilized.
When you don't want to go for the usual, go for the flavor at A&W.
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real fruit and fun rolled up in one.
You can get them, you can stretch them. Fruit Corners. They're so good you'll want to fetch them. Fruit Corners. You can tear them, you can share them. They taste great anywhere.
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups are the chewy snacks made with real fruit that you unroll, peel, and chew.
You can trick them, you can treat them. Fruit Corners. You can swap them, you can eat them.
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Now in great tasting grape.
We're up at dawn.
Shibbity-doo-doo-wah.
Got our aprons on.
Ha-fa,
we're making up the dough.
Do-de-do.
Warm it up, put it in a pan. Nobody makes this in like we can.
We're taking a garbage, the eggs are fresh. If you say so, ourselves.
Ours are the best.
Take breakfast by the hand with a fresh biscuit sandwich.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Let's have a Play-Doh party!
Yeah!
A shooting star!
You can make all sorts of great things with a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti!
And now, you can get a Play-Doh Fun Flyer free when you buy Fun Factory in specially marked packages. It's lots of fun, and little enough to take with you wherever you go, while supplies last. The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here. From Kenner.
Simon says, come chase after me. Repeat my life sequentially. Just do da do what I do da do. Simon says, I'll give you the rest if you don't keep up with all my jazz. So don't da do what I don't da do. Simon says, go longer and faster. And when you do, you'll be the master. You did da do what I did da do.
Simon, the Do What I Do computer game from MB Electronics.
Do da do.
Racing man, but more than bikes, what Danny likes is
two scoops.
You never Kellogg's pack
two scoops.
I'll keep him coming back for
two scoops
of plump, juicy raisins in
Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Grind as hard as he can, he leaves the pack, but he's thinking back to those
two scoops
and Golden Flakes of Bran.
Two scoops.
He's turning back again for
two scoops
of plump, juicy raisins
in Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Part of this eat breakfast.
Professor, Gargamel's stolen all of our food!
food, and I'm so hungry I could eat a house.
I'll make something smurf-malicious.
What's Smurfy magic? Look, new Smurf pasta from Chef Boyardee.
It's Smurfy good for you.
There's even Papa Smurf's special sauce.
Wow, Smurfy shapes, too.
Two rats out Smurfed again.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
It's Smurfy good.
Captain O.G. Reedmore here. I've got a great suggestion for fun that's out of sight. Get the family together for a family reading night. Turn Grandma into Captain Hook, let Dad play Gung again. Pick your favorite book, give out the parts, and let the fun begin. It's hilarious. And it's easy. And it's great for any weather. Read a book tonight, you'll see I'm right. Reading is so clever.
I'm gonna have us some fun.
This is something I'm very passionate about.
Me too, lady. Me too.
I'm very impassionate about that.
Now, Bill, hey, we're going to talk about Smallville.
Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about Smallville. But before that, you watched Easy Money, that show on the CW.
I did.
Tell me what you thought of it.
I really enjoyed it. It's a great premise to begin with. You know, a family that's kind of white trash but rich because they run this prestige check-cashing place.
Yeah.
They're basically loan sharks. And the I guess the main character would be, what's the guy's name?
Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley. Yeah, and he goes around, and he's basically their collector.
Yeah, he's like,
and he knows how to manipulate people and get the money back.
He seems the least trashy of them, doesn't he?
Well, and that's kind of revealed in the second episode where his DNA doesn't match with his family, so he's obviously adopted, or what they're saying, there's no records for it, so he could have been stolen.
Yeah, and what he tries to figure out, and they kind of give this away in the previews to next week, where he says, was I payment for some loan? You know, like, oh, you can't pay us? We'll just take your newborn baby, and that's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
But the show is so different. It's so strange in tone. And
it's like the type of show that belongs on HBO. You know, something that is so much – it's so much deeper than it appears at face value.
Right.
And it's got really good writing, better writing than deserves to be on CW, quite frankly.
Right. I honestly – you know, I know what's going to happen. The CW is going to cancel it because nobody's watching it. No one knows to look for it.
It's a perfect show for Showtime. I mean, that would be a great lineup for them to pick that up along with Weeds and Dexter.
Yeah, the show is made by former Sopranos writers, I believe.
Oh, that's why I like it.
Yeah,
maybe.
I can't remember their names, but every character is interesting, and they even have these, what are those weird Hawaiian guys?
Yeah, I don't know if they're Samoan, Polynesian, Hawaiian, but yeah, they're like the, what would you call them, the strong arm guys that
yeah.
move in and start making other loan companies go out of business.
Yeah, they like burned another guy's business to the ground.
Beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, he shows up in crutches and he's like, I think you guys ought to just do what they say. And the brother-in-law, basically Morgan Stanley's hot sister is married to this guy who won the lottery once, right?
Oh, God, is he pathetic.
And now he's broke, and he keeps trying to win the lottery or get rich quick again.
It wasn't even a big lottery. What was it, like $100,000 he won?
Yeah, he blew it pretty fast.
He's trying to do a pyramid scheme with that acai berry juice.
Yeah,
I love whenever he tries to get the grandfather to buy into it, and the grandfather's just – I can't remember what he says, but basically blows him off, and then the dad says you got in on it at the wrong time.
And he's like, you get on pyramid schemes at the beginning, not at the end, because they're not profitable anymore.
So then he decides to create a poison cover band and compete in something in Las Vegas.
Yeah, some best poison cover band. You win $10,000.
You know what's bad, though? The night I watched that show, after I watched it and I was laying in bed trying to fall asleep, and in my head I'm hearing, I want action tonight.
Yeah.
Satisfaction. I was like, oh, damn, I can't get that horrible Poison song out of my head.
Well, I like his wife. She opens up the garage, like it goes, and she sees him in there. Then she hits a button again, so it closes again. Then
that
she
was
just
really
takes
sad.
Off. But another part where the Morgan Stanley guy realizes that he's not related to them, he goes to ask his dad. First he asks his mom. She's like, oh, that's crazy. Of course you are. There must be some kind of DNA mistake. That stuff's not accurate, DNA. Mm. And he's like, I'm pretty sure it is. And she's like, well, if you don't believe me, go find your birth certificate. It says right there. It's in the closet or something. Of course he can't find it. And all he finds is a birth announcement.
Announcement, yeah.
So he goes to tell his dad. He goes, Dad, what's the deal with this? You know, is this true? And he goes, well, I can tell you, son, you were born. I can tell you that much. You know, you're here.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting show, and there's going to be another episode this Sunday. Hopefully it might be canceled. Hopefully it's not canceled.
Then he goes to the court, clerk of courts, and gets his birth certificate, and then goes to the doctor, and the doctor's one of those quacks that just give people anything they want.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Peter Bogdanovich, and he admits, hey, I was in some trouble, and they brought this to me. That is my signature, but I can't say anything else. So.
Yeah, he said, I signed it, then I paid my debt. My debt was paid. And remember, before he goes in the doctor's office, there's a dude in there, and he comes out. He goes, dude, I got it. Let's go get high.
Yeah, that was great.
Prescription marijuana or whatever. But all of
probably pills.
Peter Bogdanovich also. He was also.
Well, I was wondering, because obviously, now that you say that it's from writers of The Sopranos, Peter Bogdanovich, of course, would take part in it.
Yeah.
Because he's friends. He's buddy-buddy with all those guys.
I hope to see more of it before it's canceled. Now, let's go ahead and talk about Smallville, which will never be canceled.
Oh,
it's just somehow it comes back every season. It gets awesome ratings. Biggest ratings you've ever seen on the CW. More than Gossip Girl or even that 90210. But
that 90210.
Chloe and Jimmy Olsen, they're getting married. They're at their engagement party. And then they're kidnapped. What happened there? Oh, my God.
They were kidnapped by the maniac cop.
Yeah, you see his silhouette.
Maniac cop.
I swear to God, it looked exactly like the cover of the VHS of Maniac Cop. Standing in front of the lights and the hat and all that on.
They're like, what? And he's like,
guy with a giant jaw.
Yeah, it was Robert Zadar.
Why is his jaw so tiny?
Now, that would have been great if the guy was actually Robert Zadar.
That would have been awesome. I wonder if that guy's still alive.
Oh, he is.
Do you think he had growing pains in his jaw when he was growing up? Like, oh, my jaw's growing.
He would have had to. This thing would have been beastly.
Give him, like, dog chew bones to chew on. Where do you ease that pain?
Where do you
keep your nuts?
Where do you keep your nuts?
One of the best Mystery Science Theaters ever, Soul Taker.
Oh, I know. I'd love that.
I think me and Jason have seen it 3 or 4 times.
I just love that.
I send that to you, Jason?
Yeah, you did. I love it. I love that the script is written by the girl who's in the movie.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And every character's like, you're so beautiful. They kind of make a joke out of it. You're so beautiful. It's like, oh, said the script. Because she wrote it herself. Everyone compliments me on my appearance. But, okay.
Such a terrible movie.
In Smallville, Jimmy and Chloe have been kidnapped by this crazy guy who wants to give them marriage counseling by, it's Jigsaw, I guess, again, right?
Oh, yeah, their second Saw. But you're forgetting that Lois's great speech and her, I'm telling you what, that Rebecca Durance can act like a drunk.
Erica Durant?
Yeah, whatever. Her drunk acting is terrific. It's top notch. It's up there.
Yes,
yeah, Emmy work.
She does this embarrassing speech about how Chloe said she'd get married when she found her true love. Well, she went back on it because she's getting married to this guy or whatever, basically. It's kind of embarrassing, wasn't it? Oh, that Lois.
There was a moment after they get kidnapped, though, that they go to Luther Mansion and Tess Mercer's coming through the door with her assistant, and they mention that somebody broke into their computer system, but they can't find the IP because it came through a ghost router.
Yeah, she says a ghost router.
Ghost Router.
I love that movie with Nicolas Cage. Ghost Router.
Yeah, Ghost Router. Big Linksys router that's on fire.
It's got like a skeleton head on it, like a foam skeleton on your router.
I've heard of ghosting consoles, but I've never heard of a Ghost Router.
Sweet, a Ghost Router.
That's just so stupid.
I love the writer. He's typing to away. Ghost Router. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
That's awesome. Ghost Router. That makes total sense.
But, okay, Clark and Lois, they figure that they've been kidnapped because there's these other couples missing who are engaged. So let's pretend to be a couple, and we'll go to this place. And what I think is funny, Bill, they go to shop for a ring. The very first place they go is the guy who did it.
Yeah.
they didn't look very hard.
Well, and they didn't even try to discover, like, I mean, it was so obvious that they're trying to set up this guy as the red herring. But then you find out that it was the guy. They didn't even try. It was so pathetic.
It's like, hey, they lucked out. He knows they're engaged, and he's going to kidnap them later.
Yeah. Why not?
I know. It's not like they gave us a couple of choices.
Yeah, exactly. They set up the red herring and then went, you know what?
That's enough.
The red herring.
Okay, my favorite part of the whole show is Green Arrow shows up. And he's like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we're engaged. He's like, what? No way. So anyway, he's like, can't believe it. They're engaged or whatever. So he goes to Tess Mercer. He's going to take her out to lunch or whatever. And this scene happens. Badass. Let's check it out.
Mercy.
Mercy, he calls.
There's dinner reservations at Hobbs Bay in just under an hour.
Mercy.
I like to work up an appetite.
What the hell's going on?
What the hell are those sticks called?
Stick fight. Do you guys like the tribal stick fight music?
Why didn't
this
he go to
is not revenge. This is respect.
Very
weak
subversive.
Men like you make me stronger.
Stick fight, yeah! Take that! Stick fight, ding, yes!
You learn that Lionel kills your parents, and what do? You drink yourself onto the society page for what, like a month?
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know me.
Eat stick!
I keep myself busy.
You know, the next time he shows up, they're going to break into some capoeira.
Oh, sweet.
You know me.
You know, I'm
trying to keep myself busy.
I caught you with the waitress.
Justin Hartley's a great actor.
What was she a host?
This.
How many times do I have to apologize?
I don't want an apology.
I want your sex.
I want an explanation.
This doesn't look pretty. Grabbed it all.
The hell were you so afraid of?
My shadow.
You.
I was afraid you might snore in your sleep.
I was afraid you might have vagina dentata.
You know what I wish they would have done? What they do, like in martial arts movies, she comes up with the stick. And there's a bucket with a mop in it. And he goes, oh, and he has to kick the mop part off and use that.
Yes, he has to snap it off.
That would have been awesome. Such a great scene.
I like to work up an appetite.
Right now, I'm very hungry.
All right, now let's go to the Sizzler. All right. Sounds good.
I eat green berets for lunch. And right now, I'm very hungry.
So what's funny is Chloe and Jimmy, they're going to this guy's test, and it turns out they do love each other, so he sets them free. But
no, that was Jigsaw.
Yeah, Jigsaw sets them free.
He set them up in the perfectly green-lit room in, like, classic electric chairs and everything.
So then he captures Lois, because Lois is engaged to Clark. They didn't even have a party yet. The guy's kind of, like, catching
jumping
him quick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's you know, he's a premature ejaculator.
And then he says, soon you will be with your love, or whatever. And I guess he couldn't find Clark that night, because he shows up the next day. He's like, hey, where's Lois?
And Clark comes in and blows the door in.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, he completely blows the whole friggin' wall out, and the guy doesn't even notice. He's just like, oh, so you've came.
Well, you remember what Chloe and Jimmy say something about? He said something about Bonds, and he's like, Bonds? Just like that nerd guy at the jewelry store. I know where she is. Did Clark ever think, I know where she is. She's here. No, he just took off. Then he busts through the wall, and the guy's got his kryptonite watch band. Was that pretty weak, yeah. man, even for this show?
Well, I mean, this guy was just weak in general. He doesn't even ask the good questions. He's like, have you ever cheated on your fiance?
Oh, my God. I mean,
the questions you ask are like, have you ever had interracial sex? Do you have any STDs?
Do you ever
have
think
you
about
the child porn?
Do you think about women while you're with your lover? And he's just like, oh.
Do you like tranny surprise?
False.
Oh my God! You know what? This episode is small, but it was just like Moment of Truth.
It was Saw in the Moment of Truth.
I, along with all of the other ladies out there, are just dying to know if you are single.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Did you gamble away your son's college scholarship?
Oh my God! So anyway, of course, Clark and gets his watch off. He headbutts him, but not before Lois admits she does love Clark. Right. So that's what this whole thing is to set up that they love each other, and that's the episode pretty much.
Well, I loved how he eyes the guy's kryptonite wristband. Like the guy just happens to have a kryptonite wristband on. It's completely and totally convenient.
It's pretty awesome looking.
And then he like eyes him and then grabs it and throws it down a drain, which there just happens to be a rat on. Like, oh, that rat can go down there, soak in the watch.
You know what's also cool is that kryptonite watch would really, it's good for nighttime viewing of what time it is.
So, yeah, but it's not always glowing. It seems to only glow when Clark's around.
I like to work up an appetite.
It was funny. Clark, like, he grabs him and headbutts him. He's like boom! And the face boom, the guy makes is like, oh, I've been headbutted, and then falls over. It was just so bad.
All right, let's get into Friday Night Lights. Good episode. Friday Night Lights is good. Every week,
oh,
is it not?
God, this show. You know a show is good whenever you're sitting there and you know it's a television show, but you're just like pulling for these characters. Like, oh, come on, you know. And I get so like pulled into this show, it's ridiculous.
Matt Saracen.
I swear, if it disappears, I'm gonna be brokenhearted.
Yeah. And like Matt Saracen's character, I love just what he's going through. You know, the poor guy, he's taking care of his grandmother, whatever. The whole town doesn't want him to play. They want this new kid, J.D. McCoy. So when he's playing that big game, you're really rooting for him, right?
Yeah.
It's just a heartbreaker when he fumbles the football.
Well, you know what? And I even had a dream. I literally had a dream the night after watching it that I was talking to Saracen, like, Saracen, it wasn't your fault, man. The guy's helmet hit your elbow. You couldn't even kept the ball if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's how much this show friggin' affects me. It's ridiculous.
And I love this stuff with Tammy. She goes to get meat for the barbecue at their house, and she meets the McCoy mom.
It's from Northern Exposure.
You know how the coach says, you got played. Do you really think she did, the lady?
Oh, totally. Those people are so, like,
manipulative.
You can tell they're vindictive and they're planning. She totally got played.
Well, they end up having the team party barbecue at the McCoy house, and they have valet parking. I love the coach is like, no, I'll park it myself. Nope, I'm going to park it myself. And the guy's like, well, she goes, honey, it's valet parking. He's, no, I'm parking myself. He drives away.
Did you see the size of that place, though? Yeah. I mean, holy
crap. That was insane. And then
that had to be like 15,000 square feet.
Well, I love when Matt and Julie are in J.D. McCoy's trophy room. It's like insane. And they're like kind of laughing about it. And all of a sudden, J.D.'s there. And he's like, they got my first diaper bronze downstairs. Do you want to see it? And they're like, you know, he's kind of making a joke, kind of break the ice.
Yeah, I think he was trying to break the ice and actually make friends. I think this kid is probably, I mean, like the joke they made, he was like 3 years old and he got this, what was it, the honorable mention trophy or whatever.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, even probably, the fat kids get old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has parents that have, I mean, his dad has obviously
mapped out his entire life.
Yeah, just like the whole Venus and Serena Williams thing where they got... you know, tennis rackets in their hands when they were two. This kid's probably been throwing a football since he was two. So, you know, the parents are just crooked, man.
He's
and you know that,
extremely...
that the McCoy dad is playing the entire town against Coach so that his son can get on the, you know, to start playing.
Yeah, there's that part where the coach, he found a pool, you know, he's playing pool by himself, a quiet place, and Buddy comes walking in, he's, hey, there he is, and he's just like, oh, crap. And they come
Buddy,
in.
Buddy, the McCoy dad, and like two other boosters.
And remember, there's the quarterback coach that the McCoy dad hired, and he's like, hey, coach, do you think? And he's like, well, you're not on my payroll, you know.
So I don't
Oh, that guy is such an arrogant tool, too.
I know. I mean, just
that was the worst thing when Matt, you know, he almost makes it, and the ball gets knocked out, and the guy, they take that shot of the quarterback coach, and the quarterback coach is like covering his mouth, giggling, and it's just
oh,
like, you
yeah,
prick.
Yeah, and then you see the dad, he's smiling, you know. Do they? And you know what? One thing they cut to J.D. McCoy, and he looks terrified. Like,
yeah, well, did you notice the entire time, like, when Matt's doing really well, McCoy is, like, writing everything down and studying that Saracen is doing? The kid obviously respects Saracen.
Yeah.
And, you know, looks to him as a person that he can learn from.
It's
tragic what's going on the show. I hate seeing this stuff with Saracen.
Lose the one game and you come home and he's got, what, 5 for sale signs in his front yard?
Yeah, people in that town are
that's
horrible.
It's like, come
yeah.
on, that's...
they suck. It's totally, what have you done for me lately? He's like, oh, he lost the game, let's get rid of him.
Well, that's what the first movie was, basically, you know, the coach moves in, and then immediately it's, so you're going to win some games for us? You're going to win a championship for us? And the ending of the movie is similar to the ending of this episode, where the quarterback is running for the touchdown. He's like an inch away, and he doesn't make it. He gets stopped, and they lose.
Well, do you remember the first season of Friday Night Lights when they lose a couple of games? Julie's at the Alamo Freeze, and the coach gets up and goes to the bathroom. This guy's like, hey, you tell your daddy. You know, he's like being tacky to her, and he goes, you got something to say to me? You know, they're just being tacky about it. You know, that's why
and
I think
you know
that,
it's like that.
Then little Saracen and Julie getting back. Kinda.
That's the one good thing about it.
Yeah that was like, that warmed the cockles of my heart.
I love the part also where Matt and Landry, he's talking about J.D. McCoy. He's like, look at J.D. McCoy. He's like, I don't want to see that. Stop talking. I'm sick of hearing the guy's name.
If I hear the guy's name one more time, I'm going to throw up.
And he like gets up and he's like, why don't you eat Landry's tacos? He's not coming back. And he slides it over and she's like, no, I don't want his tacos. And they're talking. But I love Landry comes back and he sees his lunch trays in front of her. He's like, what's the deal, man? She slides it back. Like, no, she didn't want you to talk. But also, we have Riggins and his brother stealing copper.
Oh, that was so painful to watch.
I know, because did you think they were going to get caught?
Oh,
I did.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's these and gigantic spools of copper. I mean, come on.
Riggins needs to get away from his brother. His brother is pulling him down.
Well,
I mean, just such a terrible character. He's like, and again, his brother's a what have you done for me lately type guy.
Well, that's the thing. He's okay.
I know he's like when he gets that scholarship, you know, information.
Yeah, it's like, this is good for us.
Yeah.
It's like us.
Well, that's another thing. Okay, Riggins and Lila are hanging out all the time, so they're always around his brother and Tyra's sister, and her mom's always there. And Lila's like, I don't think they like me. He's like, sure, they love you. You know, they don't like her at all.
Do you like the chick's wedding vows?
Yeah, that's
vows.
What I'm going to play here. Okay. Here's the part where she's like, I want to tell my wedding vows. Everybody, listen. Let's check this part out. I love it.
I mean, honey, it's great and all, but... do we really need this many people?
Well, now, Cousin Floyd isn't bringing Vicky. They split up. Big surprise. So that's one less.
Keep him away from my friends at the club. He's
her. Yeah, he is.
Hey.
No, he is, Mama.
Please.
Oh,
Mama.
High school memories. Thank God.
Hey,
I'm dying over here.
Angela, yeah. Beer?
Never heard hey. Beer called that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Timmy? I want you to hear this.
Yeah.
You too, Lila. Oh, it is our vows to each other. Mine, of course, only because Billy hasn't written his.
I'll get to it.
Mm-hmm,
I promise.
Sure. Ready?
Yeah.
Billy Riggins. No one has ever stuck with me so long before. It's there, I know it is, because when I look at you, I can feel it. When I look at you, I'm home. I don't want that to go away. I don't want to forget. That's Finding Nemo, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think it's very nice to laugh about it, honey.
Oh, no, 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 no. I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry.
I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry. I think it's great. I really do. I think it's really romantic.
Uncomfortable.
What's your problem, Garrity?
What was that?
I'm saying I think it's great. I love Finding Nemo. Where are you going?
No, there's somebody outside. I can't... Oh, damn it, Falcon.
Wait, Rehab Falcon?
Shut up. Okay, maybe...
Rehab Falcon.
I gotta go deal with this real quick, but I'll be back in a second. And that was so... It's real pretty.
It was very pretty. Finding Nemo has great messages of where you finding love and family.
Like, just stop talking.
Tim, yeah, tell them how much I love Finding Nemo.
Yes, sweet fish.
Well, I'm sorry. Wedding vows aren't up to Garrity standards, but then not much is.
Be right back.
Where are you going?
Because it is not everybody.
Where are you going? No, like, she's like, don't let me
go. Okay? Yeah, of course I'll let it go. It's only my wedding.
You know, you just stop being a little princess.
But I love when Riggins goes out there and he's yelling at his brother about this wire thing. And all the girls come out and they're like, well, we're going home. And Lila's like, you left me alone with them. And she, remember he said, if they don't like you, I'll throw a block tackle on them or something.
Yeah.
And she was like, you never threw the block for me. He left her all alone. So then they go and steal the copper wire and they get away with it, and then
the one
they,
that cracks me up is the dogs come running out.
Yeah,
yeah. They pull the gate open. The dogs come bolting out of there, and then the dogs just run past
they
them.
Just run
they're gone.
Free.
Yeah. Do you think
they're
dog,
like we're free?
I thought of something like because you always read on the news about some kid getting mauled by a dog. I was like, they're letting those dogs loose. But so at the end, when they showed that they have the spools of copper wire in their backyard, we were like, oh shit.
They had like one, what was it? One, two, four of them.
And I thought his brother was going to take that truck somewhere then and get money.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to keep it for a while.
Those are probably like 5,000 square foot spools of copper wire. That's not, you know, that's a major offense. If those get found out, his brother is going to jail for a very long time.
Oh, man. And whenever they do the scenes to next week on the show, it's just like, damn, I want to see it now, you know?
Yeah. I didn't even see what happens next week yet because I watched it on my computer. I didn't watch it on the satellite.
Well, remember last season, Buddy Garrity and Santiago? They made Buddy kind of a more likable character.
Oh, yeah.
They're back to making him a dick in this season, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they are, totally.
Because all he cares about is the team, of course.
All he wants is the Jumbotron.
Right. And you know,
and he's making life miserable for Tammy and Coach.
Yeah, he keeps showing up, you know, and he always has the people with him. You know, I'm not getting involved,
well,
but they
froze
will.
Your money. You can't spend it on education.
Yeah, that the past couple seasons he'd never, it's like now he shows up with a booster posse everywhere.
Yeah. And you know, I can kind of see if they raised the funds for Jumbotron and then didn't use it, that would piss me off if I did that. But also you would think that they would have some way of raising money for the faculty. Do you think the McCoy mom meant it, that she's going to help her raise money for education?
Who knows, but I can see her being a big enemy. I can see her becoming Tammy's arch nemesis.
Well, that's the thing, is she makes friends with Tammy, where Tammy sides with her because you can tell she needs a friend really bad.
Right.
Well, she needs a friend bad, but she's going to be heartbroken. This woman, you can see that they're just setting her up to be evil.
Right.
Well, when Coach came in there and he says, yeah, I'm just waiting for my wife to show up, and he goes, I'm just waiting for the...
I'm waiting for
my
the coach's wife to show up.
And then she said...
She's waiting for the principal's
husband. The principal's
husband.
Touche. I was like, wow.
And also, I think... I have a feeling Smash's story is almost up. It'll be over in the next episode, but...
Yeah, and then they'll move on to...
Jason.
To Street. I think they're giving Smash 6 and then Street 6.
Yeah, there's the guy offers it. It's like, Smash, we really think you're doing a good job here at Alamo Freeze. We're going to offer you a $10,000 pay raise, company car.
Yeah, company car, brand new.
And he just heard that his mom is taking on another job to help him go to school. So he's
that scene at the end with that.
Uh huh.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. And
he has Smash has a lot of growing up to do.
You know, a lot. You know what made me really sad about that scene, though? Because I realized when Smash is gone off the show, or his character, his mom's going to be off the show too, isn't she? Pretty much.
You know what? That's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, it's like, you know what it's going to be? she's going to take care of the quarterback.
She's
going to
be the nanny.
The nanny. Or, yeah.
Matt's mom.
Matt Saracen's.
I wouldn't mind that. They got to keep that actress.
She is a nurse. She is a nurse.
She's setting. They're setting that up. You know. She's like.
I like Carlotta a lot better though.
Carlotta, yeah. Bring Carlotta back.
But I think they're kind of setting that up.
Maya, Carlotta. I love these actresses. Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, Dios mío.
I keep saying that ever since you said that, Bill. I'm always thinking, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so obvious when she comes in. One of these weeks, they've got to have her say that before they kill her off.
That's going to be the way to keep Smash's mom on the show. I love her character. And a tie to Smash.
Yeah, and that part where she says that's what a mom does, you know. Yeah. So I can't wait to see what goes on there. I love Friday Night Lights.
And she's love like, it. You'll love pay it, me back it. When you graduate.
Yeah.
It's not when you when you get a football, you know, get a job playing football. It's that degree's paying me back.
He says, I'll pay you back. She goes, I know you will. That's what I love. You know, I know you're going to pay me back. That's what I love about it. Okay, so let's talk about Entourage real quick. You're right, Bill. The drama stuff's not working for the whole drama turtle thing, wasn't it? Just stupid.
Yeah,
it was
not
dumb,
working.
But you know, it was funny at the end. You know, it's like
when he leaves him,
yeah,
runs off without him.
Yeah, everything. That was it. That was the best part.
Exactly.
But I mean, to suffer through all of that just to get there,
right?
It's like, oh,
he needed raisins. From
but actually,
Raisin
it was
Brand.
it was almost worth it. You know.
That is funny though. I do like the raisins from Raisin Bran better because they have that sugar coating.
Yeah. And then Ari's playing golf, and they brought back Martin Landau, who's driving him crazy. He was driving
me
crazy.
Oh, my God. He was so annoying.
He was so annoying. He's like, "Why are you going to die anytime soon?"
But it's one of those, you know, they wrote the character to be that, like, he was almost childlike in the way he would attack Ari just to get that Alan guy to, like, be like, hey, yeah, you know, you're on my side
kind
of thing.
And he's so naive that the Alan guy's like, sure, I might be interested in that script. He's like, oh, really? Yeah. And he's like, God, no. And the Phil Mickelson, that professional golfer. How many real-life athletes have they had on the show? It's been a
lot. Thank God they only gave Phil Mickelson, like, five lines. That was some of the worst line reads I've ever heard.
So the whole thing is basically, so the head of the studio who hates Vince, he hates Ari, he has a heart attack and dies. Because he hates Ari so much, he's chewing him out about what a big loser he is. He gives him two shots at the hole and he misses twice, and it, like, pisses him off even more. Do you almost feel like he did want Vinny in the movie, so he was going to lose the bet, so he had to put him in, and Ari missed twice, it pissed him off?
Yeah.
I don't even, you know what, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even try to read into the show anymore. Yeah.
And
there's no logical conclusion to any of it.
I don't remember what else happened. What went on?
The Dom thing. They had to bail Dom out because Dom
was
in a car chase. And then,
you know, I thought that was going to be really annoying, but Dom was pretty subdued, wasn't he?
Yeah. Surprisingly subdued for how annoying he's been in other episodes.
And they keep thinking he's going to drive away, and they go to with Bow Wow to the pitch meeting.
Yeah, they hear the car rip out of his driveway, and it ends up being Dom's wife.
Yeah.
Because Dom said that if he'd ever got caught again for anything, that she was going to divorce him, and she leaves with the kid. And Dom's heartbroken. Oh, poor Dom.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah.
If we're going to give – I'm going to give this – I'm not going to give it a rating. I'm just going to say it's just like – when the show's over, I'm just like, eh, okay, let's see what else is on. You know, it's just
I'm going to give it 2 gunshots out of 5.
Awesome. All right, True Blood I do love, though, and that's one of those shows, much like Dexter, much like Friday Night Lights. I'm going to say those are the top 3 shows right now for me. When they're over, when they're over and I see scenes the next week, I'm like, damn, I want to see it now.
Make more now.
And True Blood really raised the bar this week.
Yeah.
I mean, last week was great, but this week was really good.
The grandmother, she's dead. That was shocking. I'm going to say, when the show ended, you know how it ended, Steven, with basically, I hope people are watching this, because I hate to ruin anything for them by talking about it. Hopefully you just skip over the next 3 minutes or so, if you don't watch the show, and you might eventually on DVD or something, but when Sookie decides she wants to be with Bill, and when she tells him to bite her, when he bit her, that disturbed me, the way you see all the blood just come out.
Well, and they did that close-up shot of his tongue. like licking back and forth on her blood, and it was meant to be unsettling.
Well, I remember I was talking about it with Heather, and I go, that really bothered me that he bit her, and she said, why? She let him, and I said, no, but I didn't think Bill would ever do it.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to remember that he really has no control over that. He's soulless now.
Right.
You know, if she invites him to bite her, then that gives him the open to do it. And he will, because he's an animal.
I wanted him to say, no, Sookie, are you sure about this? But he's like, okay, you know, like that. I don't know. Something about it just disturbed me, bothered
me. The way he remembered being turned himself, you'd think he might have flashed back on that going, I really don't want it.
But I think he's just going to just drink a little. He wasn't like
going to
drain her.
Yeah, he's just feeding off of her. He's not going to drain her and turn her into a vampire.
And the way Heather explained to it from her point of view is it was Sookie's gift to him in a way.
Exactly. I agree with her, yeah.
I love the scene where, you know, after she's had the – what do you call that? After the funeral, everyone comes to your house eating food.
The wake.
And she can hear everybody's like, oh, she shouldn't have been hanging around vampires. And everyone's thinking tacky things in their brain, but being nice to her and smiling to her face, and she can't take it anymore. I love when Tara's like, everybody, get the hell out of here. We're really thankful and all, but get the hell out.
And also at the funeral, whenever she's trying to give the eulogy and she tells everyone to shut the fuck up, and then she goes running off.
Oh, yeah, because she's trying to say these heartfelt things, and she can hear all the tacky stuff they're thinking.
Yeah, like, oh, she killed her.
Yeah, she probably killed her herself. And she freaks out because her grandmother's pie is about to get eaten by that fat lady. I have a feeling that was the last thing her grandmother probably ever made. That's why she didn't want anyone to touch it.
Yeah, totally. And that's why she took out the pie and ate some of it before she went over to Bill's.
Well, the part I really like, the sequence, was when she's laying in bed and then the hands choke her and she says, Bill. And they show him wake up under his house and it's still daylight.
Yeah, and he checks the watch. That was terrific.
And he's like, ah, because he can't do anything. He's screwed. It's daylight. He'll die if he goes outside. But they also showed where he sleeps. He just sleeps on a slab, like under the house. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, he's sleeping in the crawl space underneath the house.
But I love that, how he wakes up. He knows she's in trouble. And then it cuts to nighttime, and you see him go, whoo. And Tara's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And she was just having a nightmare, and he could sense the danger in her nightmare or something.
Yeah, I think so.
But I also love the scene where he's arguing with Sam because, you know, Sam loves her too. And he's like, don't you ever hurt her. I got a stake with your name on it. All this. He's like, it's not time to be marking your territory right now. They keep hinting something canine about the Sam guy, don't they?
Yeah, he's...
I keep thinking, you know, we've thrown out the vampire, the werewolf thing. But I love the scene where they're looking out.
So this is Underworld.
Well, I love the scene where Lafayette and Tara look outside and Bill's standing there with his true blood watching over. And then
the dog
comes up and he sits next to him. They're both keeping an eye on Sookie.
That was great.
That was really good.
The show is just so well written and so well directed. And in no way is it. It's perfectly done. In no way can I fault it with anything.
It really bothered me also because they make you love her grandmother so much. And the next day when Jason shows up for work and he doesn't even know about it, and they're like, dude, what are you doing here? And he's like, what? And they have to tell him his grandmother's dead. I didn't expect that reaction at all, that he would blame it on Sookie, basically.
Well, you know what? He'll blame it on anybody other than himself. I mean, he's just that type of person. He's a drug addict. He's a user. He's completely self-centered, self-conscious.
Right, and they've even showed
he'll put it on anyone else.
And they've showed now that he's addicted to V.
Yeah.
And they show that he's having sex with that chick again, and he's, like, whimpering about it, like... He just can't stop.
He's an addict. He's addicted to sex. He's addicted to drugs. It's just, you know, a person like that, nothing good can come from his character.
And it was interesting that Bill put two and two together. He's like, I don't think he came here. Whoever killed your grandmother came here to kill Sookie because of her being friends with vampires. Because everyone that's died has known a vampire or been friendly with them.
Maybe it's that creepy guy that's always real emotional, at different things. Like he was crying at the funeral.
Yeah, and he also works at the bar.
Came up to Bill at the meeting.
Terry,
and was saying,
is his name.
"Don't understand."
Remember, yeah, his name is Terry, and he works for Sam. Sometimes he's there at the bar at times. Well,
I think that's who they're trying to set up for it, because he's creepy at everything that he's involved with.
Well, remember, my first theory that the killer was probably the new what do you call that, the morgue guy? No, the forensic guy's apprentice or whatever. He's like, hey, he's my new apprentice. Or
yeah. Oh, yeah. He was at the vampire bar.
Yeah, he's like, I hope she doesn't recognize me from the vampire bar. I look different. And she's like, what the hell? Because that guy is something creepy about him. And it looks like in the scenes the next week, that part where Sam's like, I'm going to take one of you with me. He breaks the stick. I was like, when the hell are we going to see that scene? Come on, you know? But I love True Blood, and I love Dexter. Dexter was good, too.
Dexter is good. It's too bad we don't cover it, but there's just too many shows
to cover. We don't cover enough of it, yeah. I mean, seriously, everyone knows Dexter's good by now, hopefully. They watch it or on DVD. Steven, go buy season one.
And plus, you know, they add Bail Organa this season.
Go buy season two.
And he had his own creepy stuff going on.
I just love how there's all these weird things, and I never know what's going to happen, really, on the show. And that's what I like about True Blood, also. And Friday Night Lights, they're unpredictable. Do you hear me, heroes?
Quite frankly, same with Mentalist.
Oh, yeah, I love the Mentalist.
Mentalist
too.
Is really terrifically written.
I watch the Mentalist waiting for someone to say something stupid, like the way Chloe talks or Lois talks or something.
God.
It just doesn't happen. The show.
No, it doesn't.
That's what I love about that show, Easy Money. They never try to do anything like ridiculous for entertainment value. The show moves at its own pace. And that, unfortunately, it'll probably be canceled, but it moves at its own pace, and that's what I like about it. They don't try too hard at all. They just do what they want.
And I just have to get it out. Me and you argued a few weeks ago about Life on Mars, and I watched the first two episodes. And if you've seen the original version, you can't get how bad this Americanized version is out of your head. Just even setting it aside as a show without the UK version in my head, it's bad. Harvey Keitel is such a terrible actor. It's like his line reads are painful. The Michael Imperioli plays Ray Carling, and he's just so obnoxious. It's not a good show. And they're saying that it'll be the next one picked up for a full season order. And I really hope not. I really, really hope not.
I wouldn't say we argued. I'd say we had a misunderstanding.
You were being obnoxious.
I would say that we had a misunderstanding because Bill and I chat on text. Sometimes we don't know the tone that we're doing, and
you were joking, and I wasn't.
I was teasing Bill, and he was being serious. Basically,
I got pissed off.
I haven't watched Life on Mars. I've seen the pilot of the original series. I haven't seen any other episodes, but it's almost like...
To have a true appreciation for it, you have to see all of them.
If they said this Life on Mars was the best show ever, I might watch it now, but I'm filled up. How many shows are we going to watch? You know?
Right, right.
I've gotten to the point where I actually have to download things because I've run out of space. I have two DVRs. I have my satellite DVR and my cable DVR. That gives me four things to record on one night, and sometimes there's more than I can record.
And more than you can watch.
And more than I can watch. I wasn't able to watch Fringe this week. I had to watch Smallville just before doing the show. So, you know, we have to pick and choose. We can't do everything.
And basically, after what you said about Life on Mars, I was like, okay, if I'm going to watch Life on Mars, I'd rather see the British series, the original.
Yeah. Basically, they're using the script and then butchering it and making it – they're hamming it up because they don't think American audiences are intelligent enough to understand the British script. I mean, they're adding these little things that are just ridiculous. There's no reason for it.
They have to Americanize it or whatever.
Yeah, the first episode, it involves this guy named Colin Rames. He's a serial killer. And the way I don't want to explain how they catch him in the original version, but in the Americanized version, they have to make it easy for people. They create a twin. He has a twin. And that how somehow the twin creates an alibi for the murderer, but it's not the murderer, it's the twin, and that's how this guy gets free. It's these little tweaks that they make to the original script that just make it weak in general.
Right. Especially, I mean, if if you believe the original series was pretty much perfect, right?
Yeah, I mean, the writing, it didn't talk down to you at all. Sure, there's a cultural difference that you grow to understand as you watch the series, but this one, it's just... They dumbed it down.
Isn't the show The 11th Hour also based on a British series?
I have no idea.
CBS? It has Rufus Sewell from Dark City.
I heard it's terrible, though.
I haven't watched it either. I have the pilot recorded, and I still haven't watched it.
I heard that it's like... It's the exact opposite of what Fringe is. Like, Fringe uses, like... theoretical science.
Yeah, everything can be
explained.
The 11th
Hour tries to use real science, but it uses it wrong.
Hey, by the way, can I just mention that while I was getting ready for the show, Ghost Whisperer was on. And,
oh my god!
Jennifer Love
the Ghost Whisperer in the Machine episode.
Yeah, she enters into they call it a social networking video game where this girl hangs out and her ghost dad is in there trying to protect her from this guy who kills girls. And there's a part where Jennifer Love Hewitt enters in the game and they show inside the game. She's walking around her kind of like, you know, she's got like pink makeup on and ridiculous hair and a tight outfit or whatever. And so it's like the Tron and the Matrix or whatever.
Oh.
It's probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You got to check it out, Steven. Definitely.
Oh, I love the Ghost Whisperer.
All right, let's do the news, Bill.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do the news!
Work up an appetite.
Whoa, yeah. Would you ever...
Steven, wake up.
Fight a girl.
Yeah, fight a girl.
Steven.
Steven's not saying anything.
I'm just sitting here. I'm not sleeping.
All right, Bill, what have we got in the news this week?
All right, let me open my news. My printer's down, so I had to copy and paste into Word. All right.
Hey, Bill, first, I got some brews for everybody.
High school memories.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. Let me crack this one open. All right. I'm going to take a sip of...
Delicious.
All right. Thanks for waiting.
Delicious O'Doul's.
Mm. Yeah, Bush's favorite. All right, Australia, a police officer patrolling the Bathurst 1000 Supercars event has been injured after being struck on the head with an adult sex toy.
Whoa!
Yeah, how about that? That had to be one hard sex toy. Police spokesman said 22-year-old man from Moss Vale launched at the male police officer who was seated inside a police vehicle and struck him in the head with the adult sex toy. The officer was uninjured. The man was arrested and charged with assault of a police officer. Meanwhile, police arrested and charged a 35-year-old man from St. Helens Park for displaying pornographic material whilst camping at Mount Panorama for the Bathurst 1000. Seems like there's a lot of degenerates at the Bathurst 1000. Why would anybody be carrying around a sex toy? Obviously, it was a dildo.
It was probably like a bachelorette party nearby or something.
But at a supercars event?
Oh,
yeah, a police arrested and conveyed the man along with his trolley to the on-site police station.
Oh, no. I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry.
So they questioned the guy, and they raided the guy's tent and seized in excess of 20 pornographic DVDs. Holy crap.
Nice.
This dude was ready to party by himself in his tent.
Hey, was it Peter Cook?
I think it was.
You're attractive. You're sexy.
I think that's... It was probably him that whapped the guy in the head with the dildo, too.
Yeah, you're cool. You're okay.
You're cool.
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 Idiot.
He's like the guy in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Want. All right, next. Sorry, I watched it this week for some reason, and the bad guy in it stutters.
The gullibility of the New York Police Department. Yeah.
All right. Now, this just pissed me off. This isn't particularly funny, but it says if it's in Waterford, Wisconsin. If Tom Kogis could impose a sentence against the people who have stolen from his vegetable stands, here's what he would do. He would have the perpetrators sit in his wheelchair, and then he would have them hoe on his farm plot in Rochester in the baking heat of mid-July. Then those thieves might gain an appreciation for what Kogis does to make a living. Kogis, 55, has cerebral palsy and has limited use of his arms and is confined to a wheelchair.
Oh, my God.
And he farms on this huge farm lot and sells vegetables and fruit at this stand at this village of Waterford and the town of Rochester. And people, for the last 4 to 5 weeks, have been robbing his stand for anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000.
Wow, what dicks.
Yeah. So the first indication of thefts came when bank personnel began commenting about a sticky substance on the money he was depositing, and then his staff found a broken stick inside the box. So they've been using, they're breaking inside of his money box and taking stuff, and I don't know what the sticky substance is, but maybe Steven knows.
It's that illegal stickum they used to use in football.
Yeah. But that's just crooked. I mean, people have no scruples. This guy busts his ass. He has cerebral palsy. He's 55. He actually goes out in his wheelchair and farms and sells this stuff to supplement his income. And people just rob him. It's just not cool. Not cool, people.
Totally not cool.
All right, moving on to a lighter story. San Diego man who was allegedly poaching lobsters was caught with six of the creatures stuffed down his pants.
Yikes.
Ow. 33-year-old Bing Quang Chow.
Oh!
Who had been cited 4 times for poaching, allegedly took the lobsters from the La Jolla State Marine Conservation Area. So he's stealing them from a conservation area?
Yeah, you're cool. You're okay.
Department of Fish and Game Warden Daryl Simmons says wardens arrested Chow when they noticed odd bulges in his pants.
We are badasses now.
Yes, we are very badass.
Is that lobsters in your pants, or are you just happy to see me? All
idiot.
Six of the newspaper-wrapped lobsters were still alive and were returned to the ocean. Lobsters in the San Diego area do not have pincers, so I guess there was no...
So they didn't do that, right?
They didn't crunch a pecker.
Oh, this was a bad idea to stick lobsters down my pants.
I would hope that if he did steal lobsters with pincers, rubber bands on them.
They do have fangs, though.
They do. Those lobsters,
oh!
Man. They've been known to eat people.
Oh, that would be awesome, man-eating lobsters.
There is a great Mystery Science Theater. I think it's called, Teenage Spacemen, where they come to the Earth and try to... they're looking for a place for their beasts to... eat and grow, and the beasts are a lobster. So it grows into a gigantic lobster, and they have to fight a gigantic lobster. It's just too funny.
Oh, hell nah.
All right, 2 Indonesian job seekers have been fooled into having their faces tattooed in order to receive non-existent government jobs. The pair had their faces permanently inked after village chief Sawayano told them he had received a text message from a government official offering them work as Jakarta intelligence officers.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
The official who said it was a job requirement to have their faces tattooed with dragons was later discovered to be a hoax. Yeah, but not before Nanang 30 and Babang 40 had already undergone the painful...
Oh, that's a sitcom title.
Yeah, Nanang and Babang.
It's a kid show.
It's like Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, I want to see that cop show. Nanang and Babang.
The three men believe the anonymous trickster was kind of pissed.
Okay.
They didn't feel in control of their actions when following strange instructions. So now they can't even take credit for being stupid. They're like, oh man, he must have brainwashed us. Must have been the mentalist.
Wow. Damn you, Simon Baker.
I was half conscious when the shop owner tattooed my face and didn't think it was a con, victim Babang said. I just realized it was a con Friday night. I was shocked and I cried. So these guys poor have, like, half-done tattoos of, like, snake faces.
Oh, poor Nanang and Babang, or what are their names again?
That's idiots.
They're a little too old to
poor
fall for that.
Poor dumb bastards.
You know, if they were in their early 20s, late teens, I could see them falling for that. 30 and 40, you're too old. You're stupid.
Come on, Nanang and Babang. Can't you be smarter than that?
Almost too stupid to live.
Stupid! Nanang and Babang. You're so stupid!
Cooney. All right. Here we go. Moving on. After plundering a Berlin office, a robber making his getaway was forced to call the fire department when he got stuck in an elevator. An office elevator foiled a would-be thief in Berlin on Saturday. The robber almost pulled off a successful heist in an office building in central Berlin early Saturday morning, but on his way out of the building, he was captured by the elevator. The 27-year-old man broke into the office building in Berlin's Meat District. That's MITTE, not MEAT, and gathered up four laptop computers, but his getaway did not go as planned. Approximately 12:30 a.m., an elevator company received an emergency call from the would-be thief. He was stuck in the office lift. The company contacted the Berlin Fire Department, who freed the man with the help of a mechanic. The fireman noticed four laptops stashed in the elevator and called police.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Grand Junction, Colorado. Watch out for this lady. Troopers say a driver whose vehicle rolled onto Interstate 70 after she tried to break up a fight between two cats riding on her lap ended up in the hospital.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the Colorado State Patrol says a woman suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The crash happened Monday near Dubuque. A car and a semi-trailer both swerved off the road. Nice. So a car and a semi-trailer both swerved off the road so they wouldn't hit the woman's vehicle. The woman was ticketed for careless driving. She was not wearing a seatbelt.
She should have had those cats as seatbelts.
No kidding, this is my papa.
Ah.
All right, police say a Lawton, Iowa man is blind after he was punched in the eye for the second time in 3 months. Sioux City Police Sergeant Tony Sunclade said Scott Bennett, 48, of Lawton, was assaulted early Sunday morning at Mavericks. What do you think it is?
It's a sports bar.
No, it's a men's nightclub.
Oh, yeah.
It's a city bar. Bennett was taken to a local hospital for treatment, but Sunclade said Bennett's injuries were severe enough that he lost his eye. Sunday's assault left Bennett without any vision. Sunclade said the man lost his other eye in an assault 3 months earlier at the same club.
Fight a girl.
Holy crap.
Oh, too bad he can't enjoy the titty bar no more.
Wow. Both eyes put out.
Both eyes put out at the titty bar.
Did he get stabbed in the eye?
He was punched in the eye.
Jesus.
Ryan J. Bodie, 34, of Sioux City, was arrested in connection with Sunday's incident, although he was initially arrested for public intoxication.
Raver Bill.
It wasn't me. All right, Moultrie, Georgia, a local man was arrested after he A local man was arrested after he allegedly driving a motorized wheelchair scooter while intoxicated. Aw, another one of these. Leave the guy alone. Police say it happened September 23rd when 59-year-old Robert Gibson was stopped by police at the local high school. The high school's resource officer allegedly spotted an almost empty bottle of vodka on the floor of Gibson's scooter. According to police, Gibson had slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, and had slobbered all over his shirt. He then said that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Police also said he admitted to drinking alcohol. Gibson was taken to the local hospital where he allegedly had a blood alcohol level of 0.405.
Whoa.
Good Lord.
Now back off and let me pee.
He was later released from the hospital and taken to a local jail where he was charged with DUI. He's on a wheelchair scooter. How do you get a DUI for that? It's not like you can run anybody over or hit somebody in a wheelchair scooter. They go 5 miles an hour.
You never know. I've been at a grocery store with big old ladies. I was afraid I was going to get run over.
Isn't it always the big ladies?
Yeah.
Like the ladies with the huge asses?
It crushes me.
All right. 24-year-old motorist who apparently forced another off the highway and damaged his car with a sword was killed when he was run over by three cars.
Holy crap.
That bitch, that left a stain. The bizarre road rage incident happened on the N1 highway near Botha Avenue in Centurion Wednesday night before 8 p.m. Director Andrew Weiss, station commander at Littleton Police Station, said on Thursday morning a 24-year-old motorist was driving a BMW 3 Series on the fast lane and flickered his lights to have the other motorist driving a BMW 7 Series move to another lane. When the man in the 7 Series did not move, he overtook him, got back on the emergency lane, and slowed down. The man in the 7 Series was forced to slow down, and he apparently shouted for him to pull to the side of the highway. He went to the boot and grabbed the sword. The guy went to his trunk and grabbed the sword, adding that the man then started damaging the roof of the other BMW. The other guy was with his wife inside the car. He realized the deceased was damaging his car, and he moved off. So basically, he took off, and then this guy ended up getting hit by three other cars. So, that'll happen.
That sucks.
Yeah, don't attack people with a sword and then expect not to be hit on the highway.
Yeah, you're cool. You're okay.
Yeah, really. All right, let me see here.
I'm about ready to kill you.
Yeah, I am too. Another strip club story. This is ridiculous. A Myrtle Beach man was arrested after his baby was found inside a car in a parking lot of a local gentleman's club.
Oh, no.
Jeffrey Allen Hale, 27, was charged with unlawful conduct towards a child after police were called at 11:40 p.m. To the Dairy Airs Gentleman Club.
Whoa. It's called Dairy Airs?
Yes, Dairy Airs Gentleman's
nice.
Club.
That's French.
That's French for booty.
Oh, my God.
Someone reported an infant buckled into a car seat in the back seat of a car that was unlocked with keys inside. Using information from the license plate, police learned the car belonged to Hale and went inside the club looking for him. The officer noted a man was sitting at a table, smoking a cigarette, and getting a lap dance when he entered the club. After asking several patrons their names, the officer went to the man and learned he was Hale, the reporter showed. Hale told police his wife was on stage dancing and that he was only there to get a cell phone from her, the report showed. Hale said his baby was sleeping in the car and he did not want to wake her and take her inside the club.
Oh, well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, the baby's 28-year-old mom came outside and took custody of her when Hale was arrested. So the mom's a stripper. The dad's getting a lap dance from another stripper, and the baby's out in the car. It's a family affair.
It's really loud in those clubs. The loud AC/DC they're playing.
Yeah, you never know.
Dancing to, Ball Breaker or something like that.
The Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
All right.
Bootylicious.
All right, last story. Edwards, Colorado. Authorities have arrested four men after a brawl at a baby shower that include the use of a beer bottle and a car jack.
Good Lord.
Eagle County Sheriff spokesman Shannon accordingly, says the fight happened October 4th, but wasn't immediately reported. Arrested were 29-year-old Ramon Montez Juarez and 30-year-old Manuel Gonzalez Esparza. Both faced second-degree assault charges. Also arrested were 21-year-old Jonathan Arquin Ponce and 22-year-old Alonzo Jaquez Montez. They faced charges of disorderly conduct. Accordingly, says the men are also being investigated by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. She says it's unclear why the fight started, but that one man struck another in the head with a beer bottle, and that that man retaliated by hitting the first man in the head with a metal car jack.
Oh, yeah, you gotta retaliate after
that.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun. And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it all.
I like to work up an appetite.
Yeah, we got a stick fighting appetite going. All right, you guys ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs!
DVDs, DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody! Yoo-hoo!
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. All right, Bill, what's the DVDs this week?
I think the most... That music is terrible. The most important DVD of the week for Tuesday, October 21st, 2008. According to Jim, the complete first season.
This is something I'm very passionate about.
A show that no one knows how it stays on the air.
No, I know how it stays on the air. That well, actually, it's canceled recently, I think.
It'll be back, watch.
But that... God, that Courtney Thorne Smith, I remember in the first season I watched it, she was always nipping out. Always. You could have a freaking three sweaters on her and she'd still be nipping out. It was ridiculous.
That's how it stayed on the air.
Yep, that is. All right, next DVD.
You screw me one
this
more
one
time,
is...
I'll squeeze your nuts till you're dead. Oh.
This could be the second most important DVD. Anaconda 3. Offspring.
Offspring? Oh, no, it had babies?
But you know why this is important?
Why?
David Hasselhoff.
Yes!
Watch out for snakes!
He played... I love that clip from Mystery Science Theater. David Hasselhoff as Hammett, the ruthless mercenary and snake slayer.
Ah! Awesome.
In a secret government compound... Two mega snakes are undergoing testing by a brilliant scientist. But when the financier, Jonathan Rhys-Davies, pushes the experiments too far, the snakes escape, hungry and heading for civilization. So now David Hasselhoff has to stop them.
I hope he does. Please tell me he does.
I'm sure he does. He's the Hoff.
Because I can't watch it unless I know everyone's going to be okay.
I'm sure everyone will be fine. But I'm sure some people will be eaten first. All right. Next DVD, Ben 10, Alien Force, Season 1, Volume 1.
It warms your ass. It's wonderful.
I actually liked the original Ben 10. I'm not sure about this one.
Yeah, then they made him older all of a sudden.
Yeah, they made him older, which is stupid.
I know my daughter loved Ben 10, but she's like, what the...
Well, Ben 10 was good because he had his uncle and his sister. I don't know if they're... Or not his sister, but his cousin?
Yeah, his cousin.
But I don't know about this one. I'm just putting it out there. Next DVD is a double dip Casino Royale Collector's Edition in DVD and Blu-ray.
Ah.
Features three discs with a new director and producer commentary and crew commentary. Disc 2 has a couple original features on it. James Bond for Real, Becoming Bond, Bond Girls Are Forever. And Disc 3 has a bunch of other...
I guess because the new one's coming out in November. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I saw a commercial and I was like, holy shit, that's coming out that soon?
And it looks terrific.
I don't know why I kept thinking it was coming out next summer, but it's just, it's almost here. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
What a dick.
Shut up, Cuffs. All right. The Incredible Hulk, 3-disc special edition, DVD, and Blu-ray.
Nice. This is the original TV series on Blu-ray, finally.
No, this is the movie.
Oh, Edward Norton movie.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I'd like to see it on Blu-ray. You know what? You know what's? I'm going to say this real quick, Bill, because you know I'm not sure anybody can relate, but my birthday's coming up. I'm not dropping the hint that my birthday's coming up, but
yeah, we wouldn't want any donations for that.
But my wife was saying, "Do you want this? Do you want that on Blu-ray?" And I was like, "You know what? No, Iron Man. I'm going to Netflix rental. You know, it's just like I want to see the Hulk again on Blu-ray, but I don't think." I should own it because I'm not going to pop it in every month or so. You know what I mean?
I've majorly cut back on the things I'm buying. You know,
I love watching movies. I love DVDs. But also, I got to remember the fact that you spend that $20 or it could be $25 on a movie that you're only going to watch once. It's really just a waste of money. You should just rent
it. It really is.
And remember when DVDs first came out, it's just like everything you buy.
Yep. That's why I have like, I have over like 3,000 DVDs downstairs. I started, I put that, it's called Delicious Library on my Mac, and I have one of those cheap barcode scanners.
Right.
And I've been, every night I go down there and I scan like 500 DVDs, and then, you know, I call it a night, and I'll probably do it again tonight, but it's just, I'm looking at all these movies.
Pirating Empire. It's not a game!
The ones I've bought in more than once, like, make me sick, and then, you know, it's just, and then you buy them again on the high-def format, and it's just, it's like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I'm going to be putting a bunch of these on eBay. I'm just going to post them as lots, like a lot of 50 DVDs or something, and make some money off of them, because it's just, it's ridiculous.
Drawing the line on the insanity.
Yeah. All right. And you were speaking of The Incredible Hulk. The complete series is also coming out on DVD, all of them. I know the separate seasons have come out, but
yeah,
this is the complete series. Introductions and episode commentaries by writer, director, and producer Kenneth Johnson.
Cool. Kenneth Johnson.
A bunch of little things.
Kenneth V. Johnson.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Alien Nation Johnson.
Speaking of, aren't they trying to redo that?
Yeah, they're doing
Isn't there a story up about that?
I believe he's still working on his movie adaptation, but somebody else is doing V again. I don't think he's
involved. I'm not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah, he's more involved in getting the movie off the ground.
I've learned my lesson after the V, the series.
And I'm totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Aunt.
Something I've been waiting for a very long time. I have fought the urge to buy the classic James Bonds on DVD because I knew they were coming on Blu-ray, and they're starting to, you know,
trickle down
now. There's James Bond Ultimate Collections Volume 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
I'll put a pillow over your face.
There's only three movies in each set, but they were starting off with some pretty good ones. Live and Let Die, Dr. No, For Your Eyes Only, From Russia with Love, and Thunderball. They've got to throw a Pierce Brosnan one in there, so they throw Die Another Day in on Blu-ray.
Die Another Day.
I would have much preferred.
I want to see all the Connery ones on Blu-ray. Because not too long ago, MGM HD showed some of the Connery ones, like Goldfinger, and it's just so cool in HD, man.
Oh, they look terrific. Even though they're grainy and dated, they still look great.
Dude, but in the background, Eastern Promises is on, and it's that bathhouse naked scene.
Oh,
fight
good
scene.
Lord.
It's really just not good to have in the background.
Flopping and... Yeah. All right. And Nick, also, another complete series.
Cool. You're okay.
Knight Rider. So this is all the original Knight Rider episodes and the Knight Rider 2000 movie sequel. So awesome. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I remember watching that show in my grandma's house, the original. I knew it was stupid then, but it was something just cool to watch, you know? The idea of having a car that was,
could talk
and stuff.
Absolutely.
But now it's really gay, and I don't care.
Well, now it's just terrible.
Come and send me, man.
You know, there's a place and a time for things. Knight Rider was perfect for the 80s. Not so much for 2000.
Yeah, definitely not.
The third Kevin Smith evening disc sold out a three evening with Kevin Smith 2-disc special edition comes out this week.
Where's this one at?
I have no idea. I enjoyed the first one. Second one was so-so. I'll rent the third one.
You know what? I really liked the first one. The second one, I liked disc one. And it's almost like disc two. It got a little...
Yeah.
Those things are only as good as the stories people ask. Or the questions people ask. Am I right?
Right.
How many stories can he have? It's like he told all the best stories in the first one.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly, Cuffs.
His future is so bright, he's got to wear shades.
Oh, yeah.
Best opening to a movie ever. Him dancing around with Mila Jovovich.
So the beginning of Cuffs, he's dancing in his underwear with Mila
Jovovich.
Before she had the T-virus in her.
Oh, the poor girl. All right. Next DVD and last... The Strangers, rated and unrated on DVD.
Oh, that looks scary.
I actually am looking forward to that. I want to see it.
From what I've read about it, it's like it's a big letdown. Strangers!
DVDs for this.
I read a very spoilerish review on purpose because I didn't want to see it, but I wanted to know who those people are. And when I find out that you never learn that, then I was like, man, I don't want to see it.
Oh, really? You never learn it?
I didn't mean to spoil it.
Sucks.
Sorry.
That's a downer, man. I want to know who these people are.
I just spoiled the movie for Brock. Sorry, Brock.
Brock alert. You know, speaking of stupid movies, while I was downstairs scanning my DVDs, I completely forgot that I owned Razorback.
Nice.
This Australian flick by Russell Mulcahy.
That's right, yeah.
Oh my god, I watched it, and it's hilariously terrible.
There's something very watchable about it.
It is, it's totally watchable, but it's bad.
There's that part where the guy is like stuck on the ground, you know, and doesn't the Razorback like... eat his leg off or something?
Yeah, totally.
And it cuts away and you hear the guy go, rah! Or something like that. It's shocking.
It's been...
Oh, no. I thought it was a joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not on DVD here in the States. I bought it a couple years ago from Easy DVD, which is an Australian distributor. So it's like a Region 4 disc, but it's classic.
Nice.
I forgot that I owned it, and then I was like, hey, I need to watch this.
Well, thanks,
so I put
Bill.
It on.
Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
Thank you. Now for a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a split personality, and so am I.
Oh, God. That's bad. It's so bad.
All right, everybody. That was episode 142 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks for being listeners. Didn't I pretty much say that?
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a listener.
It just means we're extra
thankful.
Thanks
for participating, ones who participate.
Thanks for participating, and everybody in NimChat, hey, around to you guys. Ha ha, Steven.
He's in there, hey. Montreal guy, Frog, Frayed Knot, Credo the traitor.
Poor Credo. Just kidding, Credo.
Hello, boys.
Free beer for everybody.
High school memories.
Woo-hoo! Yeah! Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Sorry for going on a little long. We seem to be in a rut here. But I got to announce something, Bill, before I forget. Next week, we're going to do a show next Friday. That'll kind of be our Halloween show. Then the week afterwards, which will be Halloween, October 31st, that Friday, we will not be doing a show. And the following week after that, November 7th, we will also not be doing a show because that's my 10-year wedding anniversary. So after next week's show, we were not going to do a show for 2 weeks. Then when we come back, here's an even bigger announcement, Bill. We're going to be doing the show an hour earlier than usual, right?
Woo-hoo!
You and I talked about this, and instead of 9 Central,
we're killing Bill.
8 Central.
Yeah, it's 12:30 at night here.
Yeah, it's 11:30 here, so it's 12:30 where Bill is, and sometimes we go on longer. In the show, and it's 1 a.m. So we're going to start doing the show an hour earlier. Everybody who listens to the show at NimChat, so just remember that. And I'll announce it again next week to remind you.
And it'll be in the post.
Yeah, I'll mention it again next week, and then 2 weeks, you won't hear anything from us. You will grow to miss us again, and you will...
We will recharge.
You're attractive.
Vacation.
You're sexy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, you're cool. You're okay.
You're cool.
Oh, that guy's great.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. You're married to Christie Brinkley, and you got addicted to porn. Now, what's this with David Duchovny? Did you hear that he's split up with Taya Leone? And
that may be real, but that porn addiction thing, that had to be like a stunt for Californication.
Well, did you hear his wife has left him for Billy Bob Thornton? Is that true? I'm serious.
That was a rumor, yeah.
That's what I saw today. Whenever I open my browser, it immediately goes to Yahoo News, and I see stupid stories like that. And I'm like, huh, what's this? And I read it. I'm like, why am I reading this trash?
Oh my God, Billy Bob, you're terrible, man.
Ugh.
To be doing that shit.
I'm very passionate about.
I know, me too. But anyway, poor David Duchovny. But hey, I watched Californication, so
it's got hot chicks on it.
Yeah, why? You know that one stepdaughter character, or not stepdaughter? It's the first season. His ex-wife is going to marry this guy who had a hot daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he slept with her not knowing she was too young, and now it's a secret or whatever. But her character annoys the shit out of me, and there's no reason for her even to be on this season of the show, but she's still there. Like, hey, guys. And I'm like, why is she there? She
was that the girl that was on The Nanny as a little girl?
I have no idea. I never watched The Nanny.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, Dick.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Seem to have an open door policy for assholes.
Hey, come on. Whatever. See you next week.
See you later, dudes.
Lots of fun, but still lacking.
Hey. Still lacking.
Done before 12:30. Yay!
We are badasses now.
Yes, we are very badass.
Now this is podcasting.
Come and send me, man. I'll kill you, man.
I like to work up an appetite.